across the UK, online and on DAB.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio. Controversial conversation and outspoken opinions. Powered by the passion of the spoken word.
It's speech radio, Jim, but not as you know it.
Howard Hughes
on Talk Radio.
And with a box full of records and a bag full of requests, it's Howard Hughes here. I don't know why either. But look, it's the plan for this week. Howard Hughes, Hayley Hayes, say hello, Hayley.
Hi.
Is that all you're going to say?
Oh.
You can say more than hello.
How are you?
We've got 3 hours, you know.
I'm
we can hear your life
up.
Story.
That's what.
So it's the pair of us tonight and through this week, if we live to tell the tale. Thank you very much, Steve. Nice to hear from you already. If you want to get in touch with us, there are various ways to do it in the way that we did it last week. I can remind you of those if you would like me to. You can tweet us on the Twitter at Talk Radio. If you want to call us, it's 0344-499-1000. If you want to text us, you can text TALK and your message to 87222, and text will cost you 25 pence plus your standard network rate, at which they are astonishing value, Hayley, aren't they? Hey, Freddie Mercury's still going. It's good, isn't he? Well, I don't mean he's still going, but he's still going in the background.
No, I don't think he's still going.
No, I mean, that's a shame, isn't it? There are loads of impersonators. If you look on YouTube... Don't get me started. If you look on YouTube, there's a guy there who does Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got a keyboard. I mean, it's quite a smart one. It's an electronic keyboard, but it sounds like a real piano. And he does the greatest impression of Freddie Mercury. Ooh. He almost sounds better than Freddie himself. He's
Maybe
an American
we should
guy.
Try find him. What's his name?
So let's, can we try and find that? Amy, who's doing all the stuff tonight. Only Amy could do this.
Only the clever bits.
Other people may try, but only Hayley can actually do this. Is a
Amy.
Geezer. I can't remember his name. He does Bohemian Rhapsody, and you'll know the video because he's got very nicely coiffed hair. He's about 30. And he's got a microphone that looks like one of the ones we've got here, a long black one, and a keyboard. And from the moment he sings, is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? That is nothing like...
That just sounded just like Freddie.
I know.
It's like he's in the room with me.
But not Freddie Mercury, eh? More like Freddie Starr, God rest his soul. So here we are at Talk Radio, 0344-499-1000. And really, well, what happens in the next 3 hours? Is not down to Hayley. It's more down to Hayley than me, but it's not really down to Hayley or me. It's down to you. We need to be hearing from you. 0344-499-1000, whichever corner of this. Somebody should have come up with this. With all this, and it's the only time I'll say the word tonight, with all this Brexit stuff that is going on, why has nobody come up with the headline, Untied Kingdom? Right? Rather than United Kingdom. Untied. We are, you know, it's just...
You should work in news,
moving
know?
The words around. You know, that's the kind of stuff that they used to pay me the good money for back in the day. But, look, want to hear from you tonight. Otherwise, you're going to hear more of me. And if you hear me telling my life story, as I constantly tell Hayley, what do I tell you about my life story, Hayley?
It's fascinating.
No, don't you? I mean, there are a million stories, but you've heard them all now. My life story, the short version takes an hour and the long version takes 3 hours. So you don't want to be hearing that. Let's kick it off then. I wonder who we're going to talk to first. I think we should speak with Alan Caddick. Alan in Birmingham. It's been so long. Alan?
Hi, Alan. Hi, Amy.
Are you all right, Alan?
Not my wedding and cap this week.
It was just the two of us. So listen, we last spoke last Wednesday.
Yeah, but because he's just done wedding and cap this week.
They're on their holidays.
They're always on their holidays, though. There's always somebody, you
We're
know, some poor sap filling in for them. And it's me this week. I think he's got a very good deal, has he, in Leon? I'd love to know what it is. Or maybe he's just got some dirt on the bus. I have no idea. But he's never
anyway, I wouldn't be coming in with an ad for TV Times.
Oh, have you got an ad for TV Times?
Yep.
You've never done this before, Alan. Oh, here we go.
How do you put ahead on ITV, Channel 4, and TVAM this summer? What's coming in sport? Films. There are hundreds of hours of summer entertainment. Where does it all come together? Complete with all the background features in TV Times every week.
And it was probably back then, Alan, about 5 pence, wasn't it?
About 1994, it was about 15p.
Mm. Okay. Where do you find these things, Alan?
YouTube.
Okay. And when they were on originally, did you used to watch them then?
I was too young. It was part of my childhood, because I was born in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
So these would have been part of my childhood.
Right. Well, they were part of my childhood too. But it was a different way of doing it. I mean, we talked about this last week, didn't we? And somebody said foolishly that they thought that my Patrick Allen impression was good. But there was a guy who used to do an awful lot of these things with a big voice like that.
John Sachs.
And well, there's John Sachs. I mean, John Sachs, no, he was class. There was a style, and we may well have touched on this before here, but there was a style back in the 80s of disc jockey, and they all sounded the same. There was a guy who worked here called Mike Allen. He worked on our sister station Talk Sport years ago, and many other stations. He was a great talk jockey and disc jockey. And there were a whole lot of people like Roger Scott and Mike Allen, John Saxon. They all sort of sounded a little bit like sort of this. And it was, hello there, it's got the greatest music for you here tonight. Hello, I'm Mike Allen. And when Mike decided to go over and do talk styly stuff and stop doing the playing records for a living, that kind of style of, so how are you tonight, my love? It was all kind of down there like this. He could be him reincarnated.
Smike Allen.
So listen, when we were talking last Wednesday, you were on the glide path to your plans for the end of the week. So what happened over the weekend? Did anything seismic happen?
Well, my football team won on Saturday.
Our Kidderminster Harriers, excellent.
No, Aston Villa.
The Villa. What's going with it? Well, that's good, isn't it? I mean, is that a rarity, or do they win a lot these days?
Well, it's their first season back in the top flight. After spending 3 years in the Championship,
that's pretty good.
We beat Brighton 2-1. Should have been 3-1 if it weren't for VAR.
Are you an armchair fan, or do you go and see them yourself?
I've actually had a season ticket a couple of seasons ago, before they were relegated to the Championship.
Well, years ago, as you know, Alan, because we've discussed this before as well, I worked in Birmingham.
On
B&B. On B&B back in the day. Doesn't exist very sadly.
With free radio nowadays.
Something else these days. I think they've changed it.
Yeah, free radio.
Everything changes. But I remember you know, going to the Villa ground, and it was a bit old-fashioned there. I guess they've poshed it up, though, now. Have they?
Yeah, because it's an old stadium now since the mid-90s.
Okay.
After the Hillsborough disaster.
So it's all-seater now, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. And what else is going on with you?
Well, I'm currently waiting for some fish and chips.
Again?
Hang on, is it being delivered to you?
Yes.
You had that last Wednesday.
Well, we got one of the neighbours who works at the chippy and brings us some fish and chips.
Well, that's handy. Do you get a good discount?
We charge.
Oh. Well, then that's good.
Do you get mushy peas with that?
Sometimes.
Love mushy peas. I don't. Down in London and the South, I don't think they do mushy peas like they do them in the Midlands and in the north of England. Frankly,
you know, in Scotland you can have a battered Mars bar.
I remember going when I lived in Cardiff for a while. They had a chippy there that was, well, it depends on where you live. Some places they call them chippers, and this would be interesting to throw this out to our listener. What do they call them where you live?
Chippies.
Chippies in the north. North of Watford, it's a chippy. And down south, it could be a chipper.
Just,
you don't think so?
You've just thought of a topic for tonight. What do you call your chippy? 03444991000.
There you go. It's right.
You are a star. But in Cardiff, they used to do, you know, Scotch eggs with an egg in the middle, with a boiled egg in the middle.
You
buy these Scotch eggs, and, you know, they're quite, as my grandmother used to say, they're Moorish. They're very nice. But, you know, they're probably quite fattening. They would do them in batter in Cardiff back in the day.
Nice.
With a big bag of chips going with them. They were great then, you know, in Cardiff.
Well, my mum does bring Scotch eggs around Christmas because you can't beat homemade Scotch eggs.
Yeah, you can do them yourself. I've known people who do them yourself. You've got to, but the problem is, I've found, whenever I've known anybody doing them, that they if you don't do them right, if you don't get the mix right, they fall apart. Don't you find that? It's a story of my life.
My mum cooks the boiled eggs as normal, then she boils the sausage meat already made up. She whacks the egg round that and covers it with the flour and the eggy mixture and the breadcrumbs. Then she cooks it in the oven to start, and then finishes it in the chipper.
And do they hold together? They stay together?
Yeah.
And
they're a nice golden brown.
And they're not so firm that you could use them as cricket balls, because they have to be exactly the right consistency.
I mean,
got you now, haven't I?
If they were like golden brown, they'd be prime minister.
Oh, golden brown texture, like yes. Hey, Alan, we'll talk again. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
Beat you to my head.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Now, having met you, because Amy here is doing the technical operation, is a whiz, I've only got to think a thing, and Amy will make it happen. So I talked about that guy in America who does what I think is the world's best Freddie Mercury impression. We've got him. Here he comes.
Doesn't really matter to me.
You say that now.
To me.
Freddie,
sounds
you?
Like him. He's got the little nuances. Wait for this bit. Have a listen.
Too late.
See?
My time is gone. Send shivers down my spine.
Ding-a-ling.
Body's aching all the time. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to go. Gotta leave you all behind. Face the truth.
He's got no guitar.
Mama, ooh, I don't wanna die. I sometimes wish I'd never been born at all.
Might as well hear all of it now.
Why not?
Although he's still got to see the... Is he going to see the little silhouette of a man? Yes, he is.
Yes.
Scaramouche.
I see a little silhouette of a man. Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, oh, very, very, very frightening.
Galileo,
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 Magnifico. I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me. He's just a poor boy.
He's lost it slightly there.
Easy come, easy go. Will you let me go? Bismillah. No, we will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah, we will not let you go. Let him go. Bismillah, we will not let you go. We'll not let you go. Let not let you go. Let me go. No, 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 no. Oh, mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Beelzebub, how's the devil put aside?
Might as well let him get to the end. What do you say? You think so? Oh.
Say you think you can stop me and spit in my eye.
I never said that.
Say you think you can love me and leave me to die.
That man's name is Mark Martel, and I think he's just brilliant. I think pretty much ever, what do you say, Hales? Pretty much all of that he got.
He's a brilliant find. Well done.
Got on the card, spot on. But just those little nuances of the voice that he gets. So check him out on YouTube. I don't know whether he's done any more Freddie Mercury songs, but he did that one pretty damn well. Talk Radio, David Bowie, Howard Hughes. Ailey Hayes, and you, 0344. I'm sorry, that was as cheesy as hell. Howard Hughes, Ailey Hayes, and you. Gee,
oh,
whiz. I need to stamp on my
Partridge
own big toe
back.
For that. Oh, no, it's great, isn't it? Pete, thank you for that. You know, I wasn't quite feeling the game streaming vibe, right? When
now
Matthew
you get
was
it.
Talking about, well, no, because Pete's explained it to me. streaming a game is a bit like doing a radio show, That I get. There's a video game on screen instead. You're interacting with people in the chat. You're reacting to what's on the screen. It's a different form of performance. Ian does it. Ian? I thought he would. He probably would. It's great fun to drop in on. I wonder if we can arrange this so I can experience the world of gaming at first hand.
Do you know what? I think Twitter has to come first. I think we need to ease you into technology. So I think Twitter first. And then gaming. Yeah.
Okay. I do have an unexplained Twitter account. I just haven't...
You never use it.
...activated it.
No.
But I suppose I should have. I don't know.
Just
there's
call
probably...
yourself... Well, you can't be Howard Hughes, because that's definitely going to be one of them.
Howard Hughes?
That's probably taken too, is my guess.
Okay.
We'll find you a name.
Well, listen, you know about IT and stuff, don't you? That I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we can actually set it up while I'm on.
We'll give it a go by the end of the week,
okay,
shall we?
All right, there's a promise. Should we get to Matthew? Let's get to Matthew. Go on. Matthew! How are you?
Hello.
Again. Is it Matthew?
Hello, mate.
Is it same Matthew?
Yeah, it's the Night Owls one.
Okay.
I'm saying, are you getting that new computer game when it comes out?
What, the same one that you talked about before?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Why should I? You tell me why.
It's a pretty good game, you know what I mean? It's a pretty good game.
Well, I mean, yep. You're telling me that. It must be.
Do you play on the Xbox One or PS4? What's your name?
I don't have any of those things.
Oh, do you not talk? What's your name?
I used to drive a VW Beetle.
What's your name?
What's my name? What's your name? Oh, no, I know your name. It's Matthew. My name's Howard. This is Hayley. Say hello, Hayley.
Hiya, Matthew.
Hello. Kath's not on today.
Kath's not on today. But I think as soon as they come back, you need to call them immediately.
I probably will when they
back. You'll have the game then.
Probably, hopefully. Friday.
Right. Matthew, we've got to go, but have a lovely night. And I hope Friday, when you're queuing up outside the shop to get the game, is a good day for you. That's all I can say. I'm going to worry now.
About what? About the Xbox?
No, I'm going to worry about A, not doing that. You know, not doing the gaming. And B, I think there was probably a point that I'm not getting behind that call.
I think, a couple of years too old for it, is what I would say.
Well, maybe.
It's a generational thing.
But only one or two. Come on now.
Oh, yeah, just one generation.
Let's be fair about that.
Not two.
Because, I can explain to you many things, like I know about 12-inch singles. I know about forgotten 45s, records that were in the charts, and people forget all about these days that were very good. You don't want to hear that, do you? No.
I'm not for anything, me. Within reason.
That's just it. 9 minutes past midnight. What's the date today? 22nd?
22nd of October.
It's the day when Hayley said, I'm up for anything. God. What? Howard Hughes here. 0344-499-1000. If you're one of my international listeners, you're listening in some far-flung place. Maybe Shane. Maybe Shane in Sydney is there. You can call us at 44-344-499-1000. If you want to text, you can text Talk and your message 87222. If you want to tweet on the Twitter, it's at Talk Radio, and I promise, if I can, I'll get a Twitter going at some point this week.
Harrison says, how about Hughes on air? That's probably gone already, isn't it?
That's probably been done. Maybe. What about Howard on air? Is it possible? I mean, look, is it like domain names that you can search them and you can see whether...
Oh, yeah, you can just type it in and see if it comes up.
Because when I got my unexplained domain, I had to search for them, and I wanted the unexplained.com, and of course that has gone. So I was able to get the unexplained.tv. So I suppose you can search Twitter handles in the same way, can you?
Handles.
I'm learning all the time.
Fork handles,
yes.
Great line.
Fork handles. Handles for forks. Now, we don't normally veer into the news agenda here, but there is a story that's kind of inflamed both our sensibilities, if that's the word today, isn't there? Or yesterday, as it is now. And this is the story, and you'll know what it is when I come to it, of the mother, who is the mother of Britain's biggest family. This was in about three or four papers earlier yesterday.
At least.
This woman and her husband... she's pregnant again with her 22nd child. Now, she is not in Alabama or Arkansas. She's here in the UK. Sue Radford is her name. Husband's called Noel. She's 44. He's 48. They made the announcement in a YouTube video, which she showed a picture of an ultrasound scan of the baby, number 22. They're from Morecambe. And she says, so you know now, guys, we're having a baby. Now, the detail of the story, if we plumb down into the detail of the story, is that they live in a 10, you would need to have at least, I was thinking, 10 bedroom home. So they got a 10 bedroom home, which they bought in 2004. Noel had a vasectomy during Sue's 9th pregnancy.
So that then how was, did it happen?
That was third, no, hold on, it was reversed.
Oh.
Because they wanted more children, so they had another 13. and the names of the kids, I don't know, how would you tell them apart? How would you know, wouldn't you forget, if you had 22 kids, you would, first of all, let's take it to basics.
Let's slow down, I have so many questions here.
You would forget
so many
their names,
questions.
Wouldn't you?
It's just not the names, it's... So she must have been pregnant for half her life, because it says she's 44,
well, if she's
right?
44, and a pregnancy is 9 months, 9 months times 22, that's about 15 years.
Yeah.
She's been pregnant for 15 years.
That's crazy. That just doesn't make, I mean, if she loves it, and I'm sure she does, then good for her, but I just don't understand how your body can go through that.
Well, I would imagine there'd be a certain amount, I mean, let's not be too indelicate about this, a certain amount of collateral damage about that.
Yeah, yeah.
If you've had 22 kids. Well, 21 and another one on the way. I don't know, but, I mean, look, I'm a guy, right? You may have noticed. I look at this from practicalities, and if it was me, I would forget their names.
Paul, I just don't know. I think there's a limit to how many children one person needs or a couple needs, and I would say 22 is over and above, would you not?
Well, I mean, there's you know, we don't want to get heavy about this, but there's, you know, there's personal liberty that allows people to do whatever they want to do as long as they don't break the law, on one side.
Within reason, though,
on
surely.
The other side, there's sheer bloody common sense, isn't
exactly.
There? I would have thought. 22 kids. And then there's another point here. And the first thing I thought is, who's paying for them?
Yes.
But then they claim £170 a week in child benefit.
That's not a lot, is it?
Now, that's not much. And it says in the paper they claim just £170 a week in child benefit. But then, living at the income scale that I'm at the end of the scale, £170 is a lot of money, really. And it's, you know, child benefit is coming from my taxes and your taxes. But I just think, in practical terms, is it right that somebody should have 22? I mean, people are allowed to do whatever they want to do.
And who's paying for the 10-bedroom house? Because I know I couldn't afford a 10-bedroom house.
Well, no, they bought 10-bedroom home for £240,000 in 2004. So
where?
That's what they've done. Where? Morecambe.
Right. Morecambe,
you get half the seafront for £300,000 there. You know... well, I'm just looking at some names here. There's Chris, there's Sophie, there's Chloe, there's Jack, there's Daniel, there's Luke, there's Millie,
seven
there's
dogs.
Katie, there's James, there's Ellie, there's Amy, there's Josh, there's Max, there's Tilly, there's Oscar, there's Casper, there's Haley. No,
oh,
Hallie.
There's a Hallie. Hallie.
Well, I think it's a Haley or a Hallie.
Oh.
It's one of the two. There's Phoebe and there's Archie. And Chris and Sophie have moved out.
Right.
But all the others, that's the other 18, I think. Sadly, one child that they had, the 17th, was stillborn. But the others are at home.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, in practice...
How do you even cook for a family? Do you know what I mean? Do you reckon they all sit down to dinner at the same time? Or they must have different sit-ins,
well, they've got to
they?
Do it in shifts.
Yeah, shifts.
Otherwise, you've got the world's biggest kitchen table. It's going to be like going to a hotel, isn't it? Where they do, so you know, eat as much as you can stuff.
It's one of those ones where I'd love, like, Louis Theroux or someone like that to go and live with them for a week and see how it works. Because the logistics of it must just be crazy, right? Eating, washing, getting them out to school in the morning.
You know, we have to say that people are allowed to do whatever they want to do. But 22 kids.
That's crazy.
Having more than, I don't know, my mum and dad used to say that they were happy that they'd only had the two. Happy that they'd only had the two. Me and my big sister, Beryl.
So imagine 20 more of you.
So if there were, you wouldn't want another 19 or 20 like
well,
me,
true,
you know that.
But imagine, yeah.
I just don't know how you would cope with the logistics. Also, you know, my mother had enough trouble getting moments to herself, you know, right until I was 20, whatever. So how does, Sue, and Noel for that matter, how do they get even 2 minutes to themselves when they've got kids who range in age from...
I was going to go there, but you've gone there already. How do they get the time to make these babies?
Well, I'm sure they can make the time for that. If you're pregnant for 15 years, then there's probably a calculation to be done that will tell you, probably quite scientifically, how much time you spend, you know, conceiving.
Right.
I would have thought.
I just don't know where they get the time.
So if we say 15 years being pregnant...
Right.
And if we say a conservative estimate... 6 months in the act of conceiving. Is that fair?
No, because she sounds super fertile.
Really?
Oh, come on. 22 kids and she's not fertile.
I think as we say in Liverpool, you've only got to look at her and she's pregnant. I don't know. Look, it's an astonishing story. It's a great achievement. And I just think there was a story in the news, I think it was today, maybe it was over the weekend, that the population of this country is going to reach 70 million.
Right.
And the 22 are going to be part of that 70 million, you know, using resources and everything else. But let's leave all of that apart, because that is above my pay grade, right? Let's just think about the practicalities.
That's what I mean, the logistics.
Of having 22 kids, 20 of whom, thereabouts, give or take one or two, are still at home. I can't imagine what life at home is like. I mean, look, if you know them, or maybe you're listening now, I'd love to talk to you about this, because there's obviously a formula for you that works for having so many kids. I don't know. I mean, look, if you're hearing me now and you've got a lot of kids, maybe you've got 8 or 10 or 12, talk to me about that.
Talk Radio.
There was a comedian years ago who did a version called Hit Me With Your Shovel, Mick. Hit me slowly, hit me quick. I love that. I've got it. In the days when they used to do 12-inch singles, I've got the 12-inch single of that. I used to make that as 12-inch.
It might be worth something.
It's probably an extended version, and it's probably worth something. Have you got 12-inch singles in your collection? Do you play those?
I think my mum does, actually. She's got a cupboard in her bedroom with lots of them.
Probably there are going to be...
What was before 12-inches? She's got actually some of those as well that I think are definitely worth some money.
Oh, if you're talking years ago, then
yeah,
there were some singles that they made as 10-inch singles.
Probably, yeah, because they're from her mum and dad. So
they're
like,
very, very, very rare.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a cupboard in her bedroom that she's told me that.
And sometimes, know. I think they'd include like 4 tracks, 2 on each side.
Oh.
Talking about records here, it's a long time. I know it's a long time ago, but in the day, 1970s, I think, is probably the era into the 80s. Sometimes if there was a successful pop song, Thompson Twins, got them, Ian Dury that you just heard, loads of artists, they release like an extended mix, Swing Out Sister, got a few of those, and they put them on a 12-inch single. And because they revolved at 45 RPM, the sound quality of them was much better. And you get an extended mix. If you've ever heard Grace Jones' Slave to the Rhythm.
Oh, yeah.
The 12-inch is to die for. And there's an introduction, a guy stands, it's as if he's standing on stage and he says, born in America, came from Jamaica, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Grace Jones, Slave to the Rhythm. And then it goes, Amy, I think we've got that. It'd be nice to hear that at some point. Michael in Tottenham. North London, nice to hear from you. We're talking about people who do impressions that are really good and some that are maybe not as good, but some that are very good. Michael says there was a man from Northern Ireland called James Brown, not the James Brown, I'm a soul man, who sang in the style of Elvis. He got 2 albums out, Gravelands and Return to Splendor, in which he did covers of songs by the Sex Pistols, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Louis Armstrong, The Doors, and others in the style of Elvis. Him, we've got to hear. I know we're making Amy work tonight. Amy, James Brown, not the soul singer, the impersonator of Elvis. Got to hear a bit of that. Don't you think so?
Yes.
I'd like to hear a bit of Red Hot Chili Peppers done as Elvis. I suppose you could do that, couldn't you? If you were doing like Grace Jones' Slave to the Rhythm, how would it be? It'd be, slave to the rhythm, ha ha. Or not, as the case may be. There are places I remember. That's David Bowie, isn't it?
Chimneys.
David Bowie.
Chimneys.
What about chimneys?
You were talking about chimneys.
I was talking about the news. All right, then. You don't want to talk to Becky?
Oh, it's Becky there?
Yeah, Becky's
here. Oh, we're gone then.
Becky!
Hi.
Hello, Becky. How are you?
I'm fine. Hayley asked me to call in, so I did.
Well, no, I'm very pleased that you did. We were asking and talking about instances where you might have cheated death. I'm going to tell mine, but what's yours?
Well, I cheated death when I was 3. I nearly drowned in a swimming pool.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What, did you slip off the edge?
No, I actually meant to go in purposely, but I didn't. Obviously, when you're that young, you don't judge depth of water, do you? So I just went in to get a rubber ring that I wanted to get hold of.
That's the thing, when you're a kid, you can only see the thing.
Life.
Yeah. God. So you couldn't swim, presumably, being three?
No.
So no. Tell me that a big, burly lifeguard came to your aid.
No, it wasn't a lifeguard. It was actually some random, another swimmer, really, who just came by and picked me up, dragged me to the side, and my mum and dad were, well, they were beside themselves.
Well, they would be. Yeah. Did they know? I mean, were they aware of what had happened to you? Had they seen?
Well, my dad wasn't. My mum, she couldn't swim at the time. That what spurred her on to get herself and me swimming lessons, basically.
Well, I'm glad you... And are you a good swimmer now?
Yeah.
Are you
I'm a cracking swimmer.
Are you?
Well, I don't like to, you know... boast myself up a bit, but yes, I'm not modest in the slightest.
You're all right, Chuck, you're all right. Did it make you afraid of water and swimming pools and things like that?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it does.
After that, yes, I was terrified.
You know, I had something very similar to you, but it wasn't in a swimming pool. And it's the same situation. When you're a kid, you're only aware of the thing that you're trying to get or the thing that you've lost. Now, with you, it was the rubber ring. And with me, it was a gingerbread man. My mum and dad took me to the botanical gardens in Southport where they've got like a pond, okay? It's got mud and leaves and gunk all around the edges. And the water is a bit on the brown side. But it's not meant for swimming in until the day that I arrived there. So there I am clutching for dear. I mean, I'm only about four. Clutching for dear life, a gingerbread man. And I love gingerbread men. And somehow I slipped slightly. And the gingerbread man went into the water. Now, when you're four, you don't think, well, I'll have to let that go. Maybe one day I'll get another gingerbread man. Daddy will buy me one. You think, gotta get the gingerbread man back.
What about gingerbread man now?
So, you know, here I am to tell the tale. I went slipping into the water to get the gingerbread man back. But unfortunately went head first. And I was in the process of what we call drowning. And my father, thank God for him, who was, you know, pretty, my father was handy. You know, he was a guy who could handle himself, you know, and he was very strong. So my father doesn't even think, and he leaps into the water. And first of all, he wades in, and then he sort of leaps, he kind of launches himself forward and grabs me rugby tackle style, gets me out of the water. And the next thing, we forget the gingerbread man, they put me in a blanket. In the car, in the days when people had blankets in the car, and they took me home, and I'll never forget the hot bath that I had after that, because they were washing newts and mud and filth and poo off me. And I was scared of, I think I still am a bit, scared of ponds and lakes and stuff like that. Ever since that happened.
Yeah, so fortunately, that I've got a list of things that I'm fearful of, but fortunately... bodies of water is not something that I'm fearful of. I am terrified of the ocean, though.
Now, I wonder if some people say...
It's just pure depth of it. It's just like the vastness and how deep it can actually go. It's just it... just thinking about it.
You know what that is? That's the imponderable. That's the thing that you don't quite understand. And because you don't understand it, you don't know how deep it goes. It holds a fear for you. My one was ships. You know, being from Liverpool, you go along the dock road and the ships would come in. You know, back in the day when they were bringing goods from all over the world, they'd come from Africa and Canada and all over the shop. The ships would come right up to the dock road and literally you could be driving, or my dad would be driving me along the dock road, and you'd look to one side and you'd look up and you would see this enormous great prow of a ship there being unloaded. And it'd be a big black mass of metal there poking over the dock gate wall. And as a little kid, I was terrified, and I'm still scared of big ships. If I stand near a big ship...
I love that. I'm fascinated by ships.
Well, I'm still scared by them.
Right,
and I think it was just because I didn't understand the sheer scale of something that big. I think that's what that was all about. Back in the day, Liverpool. Well, I'm glad you're here to tell the tale, Becky.
Yes.
Why do you call yourself on the Twitter, Becky the Witch?
Becky the Witch, yes. How I introduced myself to Ian Lee.
Mm-hmm. I mean, was that to catch his eye, or is that what you call yourself, sort of more generally?
He generally wanted a witch, which is what I am, to help cast a spell, which during that, time. I believe it was round about April or something, to help cast in the spell. I think it was like to cast love and happiness to the listeners on the show, and it worked for him. And it worked to work for a few listeners as well, which was what I was talking about.
Isn't that mind over matter, though? I was always told, you're talking to the man who does the unexplained, so I should be more accepting of these things. But isn't it just that if you tell somebody that such and such a thing is going to happen, and that because I've done this thing for you, then you're going to meet a tall, dark stranger or a tall, blonde stranger, then you're looking out for that. You're expecting to see that.
Yeah. But
you're telling me there's more to it than that, aren't you?
There is more to it than that. It's not just, I'm casting the spell, and yes, I'm hoping that what I'm hoping for will instantly manifest itself. It doesn't work like that.
So are you what they call a white witch? You do good things?
No, I'm not a white witch. I'm not a black witch. I'm not any coloured witch.
You're just a witch?
I'm just a witch, okay. Yeah. I would say I lean more to the chaotic side of things.
Chaotic?
That's more, yeah, that's getting a bit deeper there. But in general, anything goes, the chaos theory and chaos magic.
Chaos magic? Do you know what? I've done loads of research on magic, and I've interviewed people like Marion Green, who's a very famous person who does this stuff. I think she's still around in London, but I remember interviewing her when I was just starting out in stuff. When I was like 22, I met Marion Green, and she gave me one of her books. I never heard of chaos magic, though.
No, okay. It's more of an underground thing. It's not readily available in libraries, or you can grab a book on chaos magic. Magic, CK at the end.
It's not dark and sinister like the Wicker Man, though, is it? You don't stand around there, sort of burning people.
No.
Good.
Oh, gosh, no. And no, not evil.
So are you trying to make sense and order out of the chaos? Is that how that works?
Yeah. Use and draw sigils, random sigils and stuff.
Sigils.
What's a figle? Enlighten me. What's a figle?
It's just a drawing, basically. It's like any symbol drawing that you can do over and over again becomes your, and you put your, I'm trying to find the right words, put your effigy, your energy into that.
And is that drawing that comes to you, like, in your mind that you then draw, or is it a symbol or something, or?
Yeah, there's the former or the latter. Or anything, yeah. Anything goes. And the best way that I can describe chaos magic.
Are there limits on it?
Witchcraft does anything goes.
But does like the cosmos, if you believe these things, the universe, does it put limits on the things that you can ask for? Like if I was to ask for something, I'd ask for £500,000 by a week next Tuesday, or preferably sooner. Would there be something, some kind of cosmic law that would say, that's not good for him, we're not going to give him that?
I wouldn't say that's not good for him, he's not good for that. I would say the universe would be more, is that practical for you? You know, in your life circumstances right now, say homeless man, for instance, who has got nothing in his pocket. He wants to cast a spell to get £500,000. In his practical circumstances, would that really be realistic for him in his presence? Something would have to happen, like as a miracle, for him to get £500,000. And he's asking the universe.
Are you saying that you, by doing what you do, can't make a miracle happen?
No, can't make miracles happen. No, gosh, no.
So are you just sort of oiling the wheels?
But you can help to turn the cogs to make certain circumstances happen. You've got to put your energy into it, but then you've also got to, go into the real world and try and make that happen. You can't just do a spell and forget about it, 10 months' time or 10 weeks' time.
So, like anything, if you want anything to work in this world, you've got to work it.
You've got to work it, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that my mum and dad have always distilled into me.
Wow.
Got to work it to make it happen.
Hey, we'll talk about this again. And I've never heard of chaos magic. And thank you for telling me your stories. Becky?
I'll try and find some resources which I do have, but I'll try and find more resources on Chaos Magic when I next talk to you again.
Oh, please, and we can do it on the Unexplained on Sundays.
Yeah, definitely.
Sometime soon. You're a big fan of Grace Jones' Slave to the Rhythm, aren't you?
Oh, yes. I love that
Song. That tune. The 12-inch version of this, which is never played on the radio these days, is absolutely to die for. So as we head towards advertisements, somebody told me off last week because I talk about commercials. He said, you're not in America. They're called advertisements. So as we head towards advertisements, check this.
This is where Edith Piaf used to say, use your faults, use your defects, then you're going to be a star.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Grace Jones, slave to the rhythm.
She's born in Jamaica, raised in America. And she was really an American girl with Jamaican parents.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unconventional after-hours radio that you won't hear anywhere else. When the sun goes down, he comes alive with callers from the other side.
The ones who want to air their views on the stuff that never makes the news.
Do fish bleed? Do pigeons have homes? Were the monkeys better than the Rolling Stones?
Would you ever use a haunted loo?
What made Ian turn the air so blue?
How do you sleep at night, you seething little...
Listen each weeknight from 10, and you'll soon find out you're just like them.
Something extraordinary is happening on your radio. Make sure you don't miss the show that everyone else is talking about.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
We played the 12-inch version of Grace Jones, and because it's been so many years since I heard it, it's sitting in my garage right now, unplayed since about 19... So that's why I didn't realise that she doesn't sing. She doesn't actually sing for 4 minutes. But when she does sing, my God, she's good. Have a listen to this. Oh. It just gives me... Do you ever, Hayley, are there songs in your life that give you goosebumps?
Yes.
Up and down your arms? That does it for me every time. I just think Grace Jones, apart from the fact that if I ever met her, she'd probably slap me across the face.
She probably would as well.
Hey, listen to this, listen to the rhythm. Can I just hear the next bit? Because she goes, you slave to the rhythm. Thank you. All right, I'm all right now. Our number here is 0344-499-1000. 0344, I nearly forgot the number myself. 0344-499-1000. If you were a 12-inch record collector, if you've got loads of 12-inch singles, you can talk to me about them if you like and steer me in the right direction. If you know a great impressionist who deserves to be heard, then we'd like to hear from you. Oh, by the way, Freddie. And Freddie's girlfriend in Manchester, thank you for what you said. Nice to know that you're there. 0344-499-1000 if you'd like to speak with us. We'd like to speak with you. This is a guy called James Brown, who we were told about earlier by Michael in Tottenham, North London. James Brown is nothing to do with the famous soul singer. He is an impersonator of Elvis who does stuff like this.
Love me tender.
What?
Love me sweet. Never.
Sounds like Aretha Franklin.
That's Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Gladys Knight, yeah.
Without the Pips.
You have made.
Are we sure this is the right James Brown?
My life
says James Brown.
No, there was a famous one, and this one is not so fair. I think this may be the other one. It's been good, nevertheless. I think you'll find. Oh.
Love
it, yeah, I thought that's where that was going. Not sure what that proves, but it was nice to have him there. It's all I can say. Now, I know that you've been hanging on my every word here and wanting to hear my story of climbing the chimney. Colin, are you all right hanging on for a minute or so? We've got Colin waiting. He's called 03444991000. Will I tell my story of going up the chimney? Hayley, my producer? Am
yes,
I all right to do
go
that?
Go for it.
Well, we're talking about, and maybe you're just sort of coming back from a night out, and you're just hearing me mention this now. But I just thought it'd be interesting to talk about those occasions where either by accident, unwittingly, or maybe by something that you've done because of your youth, inexperience, or sheer whatever it might be, your sheer chutzpah, that you've done that's put you in at risk. But you've come out of it, the other end, maybe a better person. And the one that I always remember about myself is something they wouldn't even allow now, Hayley. You know, they wouldn't let you do this. No. But you know, if I went to my boss here, Denny, and I said, Denny, I'd like to climb up an industrial chimney, go 150 foot up in the air and do a recording there, they would probably say, health and safety, you're not going to do that. But this is a long time ago. So let's get ourselves into pole position here and dim the lights. So the year is 1980. The city is Nottingham in the East Midlands in the United Kingdom. The person, Howard Hughes, trainee broadcaster and silly fool. And I'm looking for something to give the stuff that I'm doing on the radio just a little bit of a boost. You know, just something to make people notice me. So in my foolishness and stupidity, I think, how am I going to get noticed? I know. If I climb an industrial chimney with that steeplejack I've seen working in Nottingham, I'm going to get my name in the papers. Not realizing, of course, I could have got my name in the papers for all the wrong reasons. So the boss says, this is the BBC we were talking about in those days. And he said, yes, you can do it. Because I think they probably wanted rid of me. You know, I was quite happy to go from there, to be perfectly frank with you. But he said, yes, you can do it, as long as you sign this form here. And he handed me this long form, and it was like a disclaimer on every page. And it basically said, if you die or you suffer torment or tempest to life or limb, the BBC is in no way responsible and is not liable to pay you any compensation or indeed your heirs and successors. So I thought, well, that's all right. I'm, you know, very young. Nothing bad's going to happen. I'll sign the paper and do it. So having signed the disclaimer that completely absolves the BBC from any responsibility for what I'm about to do, I then get in touch with the steeplejack. And I say, can I come down there and climb your chimney? He said, ah, right, we've had journalists here up here before that. Come down. I'll show you the ropes. Not realizing that's exactly what he was going to do. So I arrive there and I'm thinking, well, there's going to be protection. There's going to be health and safety. There'll be a safety net. If I slip and I fall, it'll be into the net. It won't be 150 feet smacking my head wide open to the ground. No, no, no. It'll all be sorted out. If there's a ladder, then there'll be a harness. It's fine. So I get a tape recorder, microphone, go to the place, and I think I'm going to interview a steeplejack at the top of a 150-foot tower chimney. Great stuff. So I arrive there, and I see there's the steeplejack. He looks like somebody who you might remember from the telly called Fred Dibner. He's wearing overalls, and he says, all right, lad, he's got a fag in his gob, you know, a cigarette in his mouth going. He's smoking like that. He says, he's become a Londoner now, hasn't he? He says, right there, lad. He says, you're going up there then? You haven't chickened out then? I said, no, it's fine. He said, well, have a look. This is where you're going. There's a ladder up the side of the chimney. That's all there is. It's clipped or nailed or stapled to the side of the chimney. And he says, you're going up there, lad. I'll go first. You take that tape recorder on your shoulder. You come up after me. All right. I said, yeah, you know, and I'm looking for him to, you know, clip me into a safety harness or put me into a special costume. So, you know, I'm not going to have an accident. Not at all. And I'm wearing, in those days I used to wear something called kickers. Do you remember kickers? Kickers were leather shoes that all the kids wore back then. And I had them. I had a red pair and a blue pair. They were not made for climbing chimneys. Apart from that, I was fully equipped. I was wearing a pair of, like chino style trousers. I was wearing a V-neck pullover because all the BBC people wore stuff like that then. Bunch of prats we looked to. V-neck pullover and a shirt and a tie. And I'm going to climb 150 foot on a damp day in Nottingham up to the top of a chimney. So he says, right, lad, I'm going up first. So he's going, and then I'm thinking, well, this is not so bad. I'll do another run, go up one more, one more, one more, one more. Suddenly I'm about 40 foot off the ground. And that's where I make my fatal mistake. Well, it wasn't fatal, but it could have been. That's where I made my mistake. I looked down. The moment I looked down, my legs started shaking. He said, "You all right there, lad? You've got a bit slow. Shall I take that tape recorder off? It's a bit heavy, that, isn't it? I'll take it up there." Okay, then. So we carry on climbing. And I'm thinking, I'm going to look a total idiot if I can't finish this climb. So I do it. And by the time I get to the top, my legs are trembling, okay? And there's no harness, nothing to fall into, just a fall of 150 foot down the side of this chimney. That's all big red brick chimney, nothing else. So he says, "Right, lad, now this is the hard part." He says, "Right, this is the hard part." And he points to a thing called the buckboard. If you know anything about building, it's like the planks around the top of the chimney upon which you walk when you get there. In order to stand on the buckboard that goes all the way around the top of the chimney, it's almost like the lip of a cup, okay? You have to swing your legs out. Now, that is the riskiest thing of all, because one slip there and you're dead. So I do it. Then I get onto the top of this chimney and there's a bit of a breeze because it's high up. And he says, "You're not standing up, lad. Are you all right?" I said, "No, it's all kneeling down. It's fine for me. Thank you very much." And he then says to me, bearing in mind, you then have to do it in reverse, which is just as scary as doing it when you're going up. And he says, "Now, I'll tell you what, lad, I'll take my hat off to you," he says, "because some of these journalists, you know, they think they can do it. They think they're Billy, you know what, rollocks." He says, "And they can't, they get halfway up and I have to take them rung by rung, clipping them. And then you have to, and then I have to spend half an hour getting them down again." He said, "You got up to the top here. That was great." It was the single most terrifying thing that I've ever done. Because if you look down one side, it's a 150 foot drop. If you look down the other side, you go 150 foot down the middle of the chimney. So that is where I cheated death on that day. Gosh. One false move and I could have been gone.
Have you been up a ladder since?
I could have been spaghetti bolognese. I tell you what I have been. I've been very conscious of anything that involves climbing ever since I did that. Yeah. Back in the days when I worked with Chris Tarrant. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that on the radio.
No, I don't think you have.
Well, we go and do these shows in various tropical locations. And if there was anything risky to do, I would have to do it because he was insured by the company for so much money that I was insured for, you know, £5.50 and he was insured for several million pounds. So I'd be the one who had to do it. So if there was the world's tallest diving board or something like that, who would have to do it? You know, there was one occasion where I had to be dragged, and I've never done this in my life, and I certainly wouldn't do it again. I had to be dragged sitting in a tire by a speedboat along a lake. Well, I ended up being dragged along the lake in South Africa, upside down by the speedboat, because the person driving the speedboat hadn't noticed that I'd gone from sitting up at the top to being upside down. Cheated death there, too. If you've got a story that can beat them, then I'd love to hear from you. It's 0344-499-1000. Can I just say to you, Hayley, have you been cold this evening? It's boiling hot
in
here.
No, it isn't. It's freezing.
It's like a sauna.
You've got a scarf round your neck.
Oh, but Michael says to me, that wasn't the Elvis impersonator James Brown. That was the godfather of soul himself, Amy. Michael, the problem is, you see, that Amy is not of a generation that would remember such people.
But we've got the right one lined up.
But have we got the right
matters,
one?
Yes.
Okay, well, Michael, it's all right. But before we do any of that, we've got to talk to Colin in Albury. Hello, Colin.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm all right. What's going on in Albury?
It's a bit, well, war, all kinds of weird and wonderful things going on up here.
Oh, don't stop there.
Oh, dear. Oh, I wouldn't believe it unless I was living it. Anyway, it's been a while. It's been about a year or so since I spoke to you.
And what's happened in that intervening year? Has your life changed for the better, Colin?
Actually, it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. I hadn't got this special dog that I've got now back then.
A special dog?
He's a special dog.
What does he do?
I had a ghostly experience when I first had him. And this old lady came up while I was adjusting his collar. And all I could hear at first was this squeaky wheel on the shopping trolley. You've got to imagine Diana Dawes in the old hag garb. And she just appeared from nowhere. I didn't even know she was coming. I'm onto the first thing on my list here, by the way. And I'm going in reverse.
Okay.
And this old woman, all I could hear was a squeaky wheel, and I had my old dog at the time, Carly, who's just passed away. And she'd been given 2 years to live, and I'd just got this other pup, so that my old dog would at least have had another puppy in her life before she passed away, 2 years later. And I'm adjusting his collar, and I've only just got him, and I heard he was a giant American Akita.
An Akita? What's an Akita? What kind of it is that? Is that a big dog, little dog?
It's a big dog. It's got bear in it.
Bear?
Yeah. The stories of how the Americans took them from Japan. They took the Japanese Akita and took them over to America.
I think they look a bit like wolves, don't they? But more kind of muscular.
He has got wolf in him. I ain't kidding. He's about the size of a St. Bernard. But he's like muscular. He can sprint because I've trained him with a laser.
What's his temperament like, Colin?
He's brilliant. He loves kids. He's always hugging kids at the gate and all of that. But there's a magical thing with this one. He's amazing. And this old woman, she came up. I just got him. And she said, I see you've got your other dog then. Old Scottish accent. Never seen her before in my life. And she came up to me and she said, I see you've got your other dog then. You just lost your other one, didn't you? I've just lost Carly's sister back then. And then Carly went 2 years later.
How did she know that?
I don't know. But here's the ghost experience. And I first heard the wheel on the trolley squeaking, as it was coming up the path towards me while I was bending down to yoga.
So what was it doing again?
It was squeaking.
And what noise was it making?
Like a squeaky wheel.
Just get that clear. Okay.
Don't get me doing impersonations.
Otherwise, it's what they call it, theatre of the mind. We've got to tell people,
You've got to get to this. This is the thing, see. Now she comes up and says, I see you've got this other dog now. You've just lost your other one, haven't you? I says, yes. And I've stood up by then. And this dog, Yogi, went straight to her and she bent down and petted him. And Carly normally warned strangers off. Carly accepted her to come and pet Yogi, right? That's his name. And she's petting. And she looked straight up at me, and she was saying, oh, what a lovely dog. And she just raised her finger straight up at me and says, you look after this one. Now you've got a picture of the old hag in the Snow White story with the clawed finger. And she said, you look after this one. He was given to you. You look after him, and he'll look after you. And I says, well, I'm good at him, obviously. She says, I know you will. You just do it. And that's an old Scottish accent she was using. And so she said, okay. And I said, okay. And she says, lovely dogs. You do well with them, and he'll do well for you. Anyway, so I started adjusting his collar again, and she went to walk off. She says, I'm going now. So she went to walk off, and I could hear the wheel squeaking again as it walked off. She had a little bit more of a chat to me, but that's the basics of it. And then all I could hear was that wheel squeaking off into the distance again. But it didn't go far before it completely stopped. And I looked up, and I couldn't see her anywhere.
Was that a shopping trolley?
And she also said, yeah, like a square one. You know the square one with the four wheels on? And she had a little flower in this, like a charity shop coat she had on. Like Diana Dawes used to wear in the old hag thing she used to play in. She used to dress up sometimes like an old hag, didn't her, in these plays and things she used to do.
I remember.
And just like her.
Especially in her later years, she sort of specialised in playing these people who...
And she said to me, as she was walking off, Howard, what I could hear her saying was, he's got the spark.
He's got the spark.
Now, here's the thing. People know about it round here. Here's the thing. At the time, I kept noticing a silver, like a white streak on his chest, like a streak of lightning when I first had him. A few weeks after, that streak grew into what looks like now a white dove with its wings out. Or in some cases, it can look like a spark. And I'm thinking, wow, is that what she's on about? And I've been thinking ever since. But now I'm seeing the intelligence and the way he's trained. The police have been saying I could do with him in our school, in our dog school. And I'm also hearing people that pull up in cars. I could pay money to see him in a film, I've had. And I train him with a laser. He's as sharp as anything, but he's great with people who are great, nice people. He's good with them. He'll stand
on two legs. He's a good judge of character.
He'll stand on two legs, and he'll just stand there like a bear, and he'll drop his arms. He looks like a bloke in a fursuit.
We'll have to bring him here to meet Hayley.
He's nearly 6 feet tall, and he stands on two legs.
Oh, my God. What does he eat? What does he eat?
Basically, I only eat what I know a dog can eat. So I'll eat my veg, I'll eat my meat. And he eats basically that.
So you cook for both of you?
Two chicken legs a night. I've got another pet I've got to tell you about as well that's coming to our life as well.
Not a crocodile, is it?
No. But James was on about crows not long ago.
You don't have a... I don't think you're allowed to keep... Are you allowed to keep that?
You are, anyway. If they're injured.
Okay. And you've nursed an injured crow.
Yeah. Storm Freya hit us in March, a week before my old dog passed away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it blew this crow in front of me and Yogi while I was slipping him out for a walk. This was like the March, recent March we've had. And it was about the 4th or 5th of March, a few days before my old dog Carly died. This crow was blown into our life on the path in that storm. And I passed it 5 times, right? And I left it for a bit because I thought, well, I've got to get back to Carly. I was on meds. I was on the, you know, it was a few days before she actually went to get put down. But I thought, I'll leave it, and I walked past it, because you keep hearing the voices of Packham and Bill Oddie and them saying, let them go, don't touch, don't get involved. And I kept walking past that. I thought, I'll go and check on it while, she's asleep. I went past it, it was there again, couldn't flap its wings. Its wings was back to front, buckled up. And the fifth time I sneaked around and saw it, a cat was on it, lightning was flashing. And it had it pressed on the floor by both wings. It was about to take the crow's head off. And this crow was grabbing it by the nostril and shaking this cat's head.
What, the crow was winning?
The crow was on its back, but it was fighting for its life. And I thought, that crow wants to live. So I got my laser pen out. I put it in front of the cat. I said, Yogi, sort that. He went up. He didn't attack the cat. He stopped where the laser pointer was. The cat shrieked and jumped at the wall, and the crow got back on her feet. She was only a baby, right? So I says to the crow, because I'd asked her a few times, do you want to come now? You want to come back? Spend a few nights and get right? And she wouldn't come then. This is about the second time I'd asked her. Anyway, so I said, okay, I've done my bit, and I walked off. That crow followed us back to my gate. It walked all the way back here. And she's been here ever since. I've tried to let her go since. Few times, and I've been in touch with the RSPB. I know the woman that runs it round here, and I've been keeping her up to speed on it and everything else.
And has the crow got attached to you? It sounds like it has.
The crow is what they call imprinted.
In other words, thinks that you're daddy or mummy.
I'm sort of second daddy. Here's the thing, her family come here every day, and they'll sit on the fence and they'll talk to her. She's got an outdoor cage in the front garden here. And she's got an indoor cage.
I think you've done a good thing there. But, I mean, look, you're going to leave us with a mystery here. I've got to get to some commercials, but I'm going to ask you this. The woman with the trolley who said that she knew the dog and the dog was meant for you and she knew you too, did you ever see her again?
No.
Oh, my God. And do one thing for me before you go, Colin.
Yeah.
What noise was that trolley making?
Oh, you're going to do it again, aren't you? I'm not going to sound like a mouse with your cups.
No, go on, please.
It was going, Now, that sounds like Snippy, which is the crow's name, when she wants to have a little mumble now.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. I can see it in my mind's eye, Colin. Hey, listen, thank you for telling me those stories, Colin. We're completely out of...
Family, keep hello. In touch.
Okay, listen, okay. We're out of time, but thank you very much, Colin and Albury. Don't leave it 2 years next time. Our number here. Myself and Haley, 0344-499-1000. We found the correct James Brown. This is the Elvis impersonator. We'll hear a bit from him coming next after this. Pete, there I was telling my story of climbing the chimney, thinking that I'm doing the perfect Jean-Luc Picard here. I'm being Patrick Stewart. I'm doing it really dramatically. He thought that I was channeling Alan Partridge. Well, now, you might have a point there, Pete. I may have to concede that, I have to say. But thank you. And if you want to tweet us, you can go ahead and tweet us. We found the correct James Brown, by the way, the one who is the impressionist who does Elvis singing songs that Elvis would never have sung were Elvis still alive, which, of course, we know he isn't. Let's hear a bit of him.
Big wheels keep on turning.
Oh, this is good.
Get me home to my kin. Southland. I'm with my family once again, and I think I should say yes. And Mr. Young, sing about her.
See, I'm learning stuff all the time here. We now know that there are two James Brown people. There's the famous Godfather of Soul, who we did actually hear by complete accident. And there's also the guy who does the impression of Elvis Presley doing songs that Elvis Presley wouldn't have been alive to do. And that's one of them. I think he's good. What do you say?
Yeah, Hans? Really good.
Michael, good call. Thank you for that. I'm going to check him out. Does he have albums out or what? I've got to hear. Harrison, thank you for your tweet. Harrison suggests that I bring my jingle collection in. Well, look, I've given Haley a couple of jingles, and so far, for reasons that only she knows, we haven't played them yet. What can I do?
We just don't have the time. Well, we do have the time. We just haven't got around to it.
Well, I think
they're all ready to go.
Well, I'd say we've got the time, and we've also got the inclination, so we better get playing them, especially my fab American one.
It's a hint, Amy.
No, it's not. And maybe Hobart, Tasmania. Matthew, how are you? In Mobile, Alabama. How are you keeping?
Hello.
Are you all right, Matthew?
Hello, you all right, Ian?
It's Howard here.
Hello, Howard.
Doing a very, very poor impression of Ian, but, you know, doing my best.
Hello.
I've
come on to talk about computer games. They've bringing a new Call of Duty out on Friday, and it's going to be a good, you know what I mean?
I didn't know, but how many so far have there been of Call of Duty?
There've been Black Ops 2, Black Ops 1, and Black Ops 3. And there's been Call of Duty World at War. They made the Xbox One like backward compatible with the 360 game, so you can play the old stuff and that.
Right.
Yep. Pretty good, you know what I mean? Pretty good games.
I mean, you're obviously a gamer, right?
I am a gamer, yes.
Explain this to me. You know, you can buy these headsets. And some of them cost a small fortune. And some gamers stream themselves gaming, don't they? So that other people can watch what they do. Do you do that?
I do that as well, yep. I play on the game a lot. I listen to Alan Robson's Night Owls. I like Night Owls. You know Night Owls?
I know Alan. He's in another part of the country. But when you do that,
yep.
I've often wondered about this, and now I have to say, and this is my fault, I don't do games, right?
Yeah,
but
you don't do games.
I know a lot of people who do.
Yeah.
But why do you stream them?
Well, because you've got to stream over the internet. I think, by the way it works is when a new game comes out, you've got to download it on your hard drive so you can play it, but it takes a long time. You know what I mean?
Hmm. And this Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Why is it this? I mean, you're very excited about it, and I can see why. What's this one got that the previous one didn't have?
This one hasn't got zombies in it. This one.
Okay. What's it got then?
It's got special ops. It's gonna be good mode in it tonight.
And it's out. When is it out? We're giving
it's
no publicity.
It's out Friday.
Okay.
This Friday.
And when you get those things, when they come out, do you have to queue up somewhere to get them?
You've got to queue up at midnight, midnight.
Well, thank you for telling me about that. I wouldn't have known that, Matthew.
Can I do some shout-outs?
You can.
A shout-out to Mary and Jimmy, a shout-out to Neil, a shout-out to Jean from Redden. What can I go now for?
Okay, well, thank you very much, Matthew. That's Matthew, getting very excited about the new Call of Duty available this week. According to Matthew, that is. You know, I know more, no more than that. Hayley.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I think I might know who that was on the phone, so I'm just going to do some research.
Okay. Do you think we were being set up there and I haven't realised?
I could be wrong. I will come back to you.
Okay. He wasn't trying to give some publicity to somebody who doesn't deserve it, was he?
No. Just having a laugh, I think.
All right. I think we'll find the laugh is not exactly in this direction, but tell you, who knows? Who knows? 0344-499-1000 is our number here. It's myself and Hayley. Just kind of shooting the breeze. It's just nice though, isn't it? You think so?
I think it is nice. Nice and relaxed. Chilled.
And we've got the interrogation lights on tonight though. Does Ian like to be in, you know, I know we have television cameras these days because everything is video as well. You know, you see everything these days. Radio has become television. Does Ian have those lights as bright as that?
No, he turns them down quite a lot as well.
You don't
you
like
did
that.
The other night. I don't mind. As long as I can see my computer.
No, I just wonder, you know. I don't think I want to be streaming myself on television. I have to say, and I'm just being honest about this. I know people who do games, who are really into games and get as excited as Matthew did about that. hijacking this show probably to publicise something that we need to check out,
well,
I would say.
The person I thought it was says it definitely wasn't them, and they're the sort of person that they would own up to it because they'd be quite proud of themselves. So it, Matthew was genuine.
Good work. I had that
Which
thing.
Is fine.
I knew all along.
Of course you did.
No, maybe, listen, if you're listening to this, can you help me out? That these people who stream games,
yeah.
right, they buy the best headset that you can get, and they, some of these headsets cost, you know, £100, more than that. And they have fantastic audio quality so that other people can watch them playing the game.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say something here that is going to be, it's going to have me, you know, drummed out of whatever by a lot of people. What's the fun in that?
Well, it's like anything, watching anyone do anything, isn't it? It's like a spectator sport, isn't it? Why would it not be?
Okay, so it's like when I'm out and sometimes I see these guys on skateboards doing, you know, 360s and
yeah.
stuff like that.
You'll stand there and watch them, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But why would that be any different to watching somebody play a game?
I don't know. I get the feeling that I'd rather be doing it myself, really.
Well, if you can, I mean, great. I think there's quite a skill to it, though. You could be a gamer.
Well, I think I need to be giving this a try.
Are you going to give it a go?
I wonder,
the gamer?
I wonder if we can organise something so I can try this out. You know, I think I'll be crap at it, though, but, you know.
Well, you know, you might have a hidden talent that you just don't know about.
Well, we're certainly not hearing it on the radio. That's for sure.
No, you just don't know.
Well, you don't know.
You don't know until you try.
You don't know until you try. You don't know until you discover these things.
Don't knock it till you try it, either.
No. Let's get to the city of the brave. The greatest city on the planet. Liverpool. I say that because, of course, I'm one of its sons. Jackie. Hello, Jackie.
Oh, that's quick. Hi.
No, we don't mess about here.
Oh, no, we don't, do we?
You queuing up.
Yeah. Right. It's just, you know, that fella talking about his dog and things that dogs pick up on and all that. I've got 5 cats, like Ian. He loves his cats. I love my cat. I've got 5. But one in particular is a white cat called Crystal. And I've had her for 8 years old. She is now. And I've had breast cancer twice.
No, I'm sorry.
And what cats do is, you know, when they're kittens, they paw at their mother's teeth to get food to stimulate them.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it sounds a bit weird, this, but my cat Crystal, she is very antisocial. She doesn't go near anybody, and she very rarely comes near me. But the first time I found a lump in my left breast, she started to come to me and knead me in the chest.
So she knew?
She knew. She did know. I'm convinced that she knew. And I went, yeah, okay, Crystal, yeah, I know, yeah. And I thought, do you know what, I'll get this checked out. It turned out I had grade 1 breast cancer.
Now, I have to say, what is grade 1? Is that an early stage
That's
or is that more serious?
Early stage, yeah. Right, so okay. She picked up on it and I thought, why does she keep doing this, you know? And in the end, I went to the doctors and they picked up on it. And it was grade 1, so I had the lump removed and everything was fine for 5 years. And then after 5 years, and she never did it again. After 5 years, she started doing it again. Now, the second lump, and I sort of felt round, like you do, like you're told to check. And I do tell this story every time. People go, really? And she started doing it again. Exactly the same place. So I went back to her doctor.
What did you think when she did that?
I just felt it and I felt the second lump.
Mm.
So I went back to my doctor and he referred me immediately. Within 2 weeks I went back in. They said, yeah, okay, there's another lump there. They did another biopsy and they said, right, okay, the breast cancer's come back. So I went, oh, right, okay. So another lumpectomy and whatever. He said, no, it's got to come off this time.
Oh,
we've got to
Jackie.
Do a mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, right, okay, fine. Yeah, I was a bit upset at the time, but I thought, yeah, do you know what? I'll go with it. He said, it's grade 1, but we're going to have to take it off.
Mm.
So I went, right, okay, that's fine. So all was well. I've been clear again. Near enough 5 years now. So this white cat I've got, she's unreal, really. About 6-7 months ago, I started having a few, I call them deja vu moments, where something comes to me, and I think, oh, I'm gonna start feeling funny in a minute, and my head starts to spin, and I feel nauseous and sick. So I started to panic a little bit, and Crystal started to start climbing up into my shoulder and nuzzling into my head. And I went, right, okay, now, Crystal, you're scaring me now. Because I was having these thoughts, and I kept passing out.
Oh, Jackie.
Yeah, but that's turned out what she was doing. She was climbing up, and then she sort of nuzzled into my head and started purring down my ear. And I joke about it now, and I go, yeah, okay, Crystal, that's enough now. You're getting a bit too spooky. Please go away. And she wouldn't. She kept climbing up. So I've had a brain scan, and everything's come back okay.
Good.
It turned out it was my thyroid treatment, and it was very high. But every time I have something wrong, so now when she comes near me, which she doesn't do very often, every time she comes near me, I go, whoa, back off. You know what I mean? But she's just weird.
That, you know, that's number one. I'm really pleased that, you know, you're okay now.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Number two,
now,
I think that's an amazing cat. Number three, I don't think it's weird or spooky like you said at the beginning. I think those things happen all the time, and people say.
Yeah, you know when they say the animals pick up on things.
Well,
I mean,
they
I've
do.
Got Siamese hair, a tortoiseshell one, a ginger one, and a black one, which are my son's two cats, which I've sort of adopted. But she's the only one out of the five that tends to. So every time she comes and sleeps with me, or she, you know, she, I wake up in the night and she's sort of sitting on my shoulder looking at me, I'm going, nah, you're scaring me now.
But animals, I've never heard of a cat doing it. I've heard of dogs doing it and sort of sniffing out problems in people because they do it by smell.
I think cats are more aware than dogs. I really do. As I say, I think
a lot of cats come from a different planet, I think. I tell you what, though, animals, like you say, they're very empathetic. I saw a great video. You know, some nights I'm sitting there, and you know what it's like. You're on Facebook, and one video goes to the next video, and the next thing, you know, an hour and a half's gone by. One of these, look this one out if you can. I don't know how you would find it, Jackie, but
you would
tune into this, definitely. It was about a horse, great big horse, who goes into hospitals,
And
picks the people that he wants to comfort.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And
it's
actually, isn't that amazing?
I used to ride horses. I'm a big horse lover. Yeah, I've seen that.
I just thought that was amazing. If you see that video, that horse knows which wards, which rooms to go into, and knows the people that he's got to be with, and he nuzzles up to them.
Yeah.
And they come out, even if they're really seriously, in some cases terminally ill, they come out feeling better, but the horse knows it's weird. Jackie, thank you so much for telling me that story.
Oh, yeah. So anyone who's got, you know, listen to your animals and whatever, I'll let you know if she comes near me again.
No, please do. And, you know, that's an astonishing story. I'm glad you told it. Thank you, Jackie.
Talk Radio.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And it may be sooner than you think. Tonight's national lottery numbers are 5, 29, 30, 39, 53 and 58. The bonus ball is 9 and the estimated jackpot is £5 million. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to stay poor for now because it ain't me and it maybe wasn't you too. Tonight, the good news, Haley and me here, we are not doing any politics. There will be no politics. There will be no Brexit. In fact, that is the only time, if you catch me using that word through this show beyond now, then you can quite happily, and Haley, that goes for you because you're nearest to me. Amy is a little further away, but you can come and slap me across the wrist or anywhere else. So we won't mention that word anymore. But we had to last night because we had to, basically. So that's where we're at. We want to hear from you, 0344-499-1000, about any damn thing you want. You know, it's open lines tonight. Going to put you in, going to put you on, going to put you in, going to put you on. You can text talk and your message to 87222. The text will cost you 25 pence plus your standard network rate. And you can tweet on the Twitter at Talk Radio. And Adele, I am so sorry, our listener Adele, regular listener to various things that I do. Adele, your birthday was yesterday. And I don't know why I missed the tweet about that, but I'm so sorry. I hope you had a great day, Adele. And Darren, nice to get your email tonight. Darren wants me to write a book. Hales, do you think I should write a book?
What I you think say? You can definitely write a book. I don't think it's a question. I think you should just do it.
No, but even though I'm never, ever going to mention anybody I ever knew or worked with ever again.
No, because you might tell us something we've not heard before. You never know. No, I haven't.
Well, you know, I do that by way of self-deprecation, really, to show that my place in the world is a very lowly one. Right, let's crank it out then. 0344-499-1000. How to use in for Ian Lee for a couple more nights. Robin, nice to know you're there. Lou, yes, definitely none of that B-word stuff. Let's get Alan Caddick in Birmingham on. Alan, it's been so long.
Hi, Alan.
I've missed you. How are you, Alan? How was your day?
Let's start with this.
John okay. Lennon was shot dead today outside his New York
In Duty Times this week, John Lennon, a hero to a generation, his music swept the world. A legend which came to a tragic end on a New York street. How Roy Scheider just made it to stardom by the skin of his teeth. Come on down. Leslie Crowther asked the stars for Christmas gift ideas. What's on when for the week ahead on ITV and Channel 4? And a holiday in sunny Turkey. And that's not half of what's in your TV Times this week.
Was that Basil Brush doing that voice?
No, I'm not. I don't think it was Basil Brush.
I kept expecting him to say boom, boom. Yes, no. You can win. And he sounded so upbeat and happy about John Lennon being shot dead.
Because that was on the cover of that of this album.
There's no need to sound happy about it, though, is there? It was a major tragedy.
There was a mock-up of a news report.
Was there?
Yeah. But my best one was when Leslie Crowther asked him to start for Christmas gift ideas.
Oh, no.
And this was in 1986.
Leslie Crowther, though, was a major star. I always thought that the best thing he ever did was Stars in Their Eyes.
That was after The Price is Right.
Yeah, no, he was after The Price is Right. Come on down.
And I've just seen The Price. 32p for that TV Times.
Well, that's inflation. That's 1986 to now.
I mean, no, they didn't cost about $2.99.
Oh, do they? I don't know. I haven't seen one for it. Hayley, have
that's
you seen TV Times?
Isn't it?
You know, I'm always down Sainsbury's, like you do, and I look at the magazines in the rack, and I see the ones.
You stand there reading for half an hour, getting your free magazine read. No,
I just like to know what's
everyone
in the headlines.
I do that on a Friday.
So we know where to find you then.
Sometimes
on a Friday morning.
If a train's late or something and you're stuck at a train station, if you're bored, that's one thing you can do. Just go to W.H. Smith's or wherever you want to go, stand there, read the magazines for half an hour gone.
Or
just
you
like
check
that.
Out the free books, you know, the 3 for 2 books. You can have a look
but
at the first chapter.
You can't read a book in a whole half an hour.
No, you read the intro, you get an idea of it's any good. I tend to look at the pictures on the front.
Because
not being educated.
Well, you know, these autobiographies they have on sale at book sales, I only go to the front just to see when they were born. Like, I was reading Trevor MacDonald's autobiography today.
Oh, you've got that? Okay.
No, I read it in Asda.
Oh, in Asda. what was Trevor MacDonald doing in Asda?
I was getting some corned beef for me mum.
Oh, I like corned beef.
Yeah, I had it with mashed potatoes and peas tonight for me tea.
Can you, hey, listen, and this is a very important point here. I'm glad we've hit on this so early, because I think it's one of those important things that we need to know. Corned beef, I love, okay? I like to buy the slivers of corned beef in the vacuum packs if I can, only because I can't open the tins. How do you, I can
you
never...
You break your nails if you try and open the tin.
I can never open the tin in one. I always go off the track. You know, they've got this little track groove around them. And if the key slips out, which it always does for me, you've then got to try and cut your wrist
that's
open.
That's really old-fashioned. Where'd you find these tins?
No, it's
in the 1970s.
Frey Bentors. Well, whatever it is. Exactly. Thank you for supporting me. No, I love me corned beef. And you still get them in those tins, and they have a groove around the bottom.
You need to check that sell-by date.
My listener will support me here. You know, you've bought this, haven't you? But I just can't, I just don't know how, and I still haven't mastered, ever since my student days, when I first was sort of catering for myself, being spoiled rotten until I was about 18. I've never worked it out.
Was that while watching Granada with Colin Weston?
Oh, Colin Wester. We're talking TV announcers. We're talking. Oh, by the way, I forgot who it was. To the person who contacted me last night and said, "Were you really wearing an HTV T-shirt?" I was. They're on eBay. That's all I'll say, Hayley, because Hayley's glazing over now. No, it's not even worth commenting
you
about.
What have you got against ITV t-shirts?
Sorry?
What have you got against ITV t-shirts?
Oh, me? Nothing. I just didn't... Every time I talk to Howard, not every time, a lot of the time when I talk to Howard, I feel I'm in a time warp.
Excuse me?
I've gone through this, like, tunnel, this imaginary tunnel in my head of, like, psychedelic lights.
What, the time tunnel?
Yes.
That was a good TV program in the 60s.
With the tins, with the T-shirt.
No, what you're not getting here is that you are drinking in the benefit of a lifetime's experience.
It's retro.
You know, when I'm gone, you'll say, I wish I had Howard to talk to now.
It's true.
You're not looking very convinced about that. So what else is going on with you, Alan, then? Come on now. What's on the agenda?
Well, I've just been watching The Apprentice.
And what's going on in that? I stopped watching that years ago.
Oh, I love that programme. I missed it. Catch me up.
We should have The Apprentice reporter on the line tonight as well.
Do we have one?
I think Ian and Kath have got one.
Oh.
Well, I think they were trying to get one.
But did we get one or did we not? Do we need to still advertise for one or...?
3444991000 if you want to tell us what happened tonight on The Apprentice.
Yes, Alan.
No, I'm very keen. I mean, you can bring me up to speed on the entire series, to be perfectly frank.
I've been watching something else, which is not The Apprentice, but it's on tomorrow night on the iPlayer. RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Drag Race UK. I like the sound. Now, that sounds right up my street.
Oh, it's great fun. It's on BBC Three.
Yeah, on the iPlayer.
Yes.
Have you been watching it, Hayley?
I have seen bits of it. Not every single episode,
who's
but I have seen bits.
Who's your favourite one out of them all?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I've got a favourite.
I like Bag of Chips.
Of course you do.
With mushy peas.
And fish.
No, because she's queen of the butter sausage, and she likes to be covered in daddy sauce.
Oh, I do.
They were supposed to... Alan, you will know the answer to this. Didn't they bring back Robot Wars? I was told they were bringing back Robot Wars.
Yeah, it's the weekend. It's nice.
I've got to see that, I think. But they've got Jonathan Pierce still on there.
Yeah, he's still doing commentary, but it's Dara O'Brien who's presenting, who did Mop the Week.
Oh, he's great, Dara O'Brien. He does some stargazing too, doesn't he? Stargazing live.
But Mop the Week kick-started his career, and he was... Well, the time presenter of The Apprentice, you're fired.
The first one to say you're fired.
No, he was the first host of The Apprentice, you're fired, which was the companion show to The Apprentice on BBC Two.
Oh, can I tell you, I mean, controversially here, and I'm sure it's changed a lot. I stopped watching The Apprentice because it was just a load of people with more front than Margate, all, you know, cracking off about how great they were.
I think that's a problem with reality TV research. I mean, look at Big Brother. When it started in 2000, it was a social experiment. Then a few years down the line, it was all wannabes just saying, oh, I want to go on telly.
I know. I remember the launch of it too. I remember talking. Sorry, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say I remember talking with Davina about it, but I'm not going to say it.
Well,
I'm never ever going to say anybody I've ever met or known or spoken to.
Well, as long as you didn't talk to Chris Tarrant about it, that's fine because you don't know him.
She was with the two of us.
I think he did know Chris Tarrant because he did. He used to work on Tiswas.
He did a long time ago. Alan, listen, we'll catch up with you again. Gotta go. Have a good night.
Tomorrow.
Take care. Night. Alan Caddick there, a man who is currently, and it's going to probably take him 20 years of visiting Sainsbury's, or Asda it was, wasn't it, reading Trevor MacDonald's autobiography. 0344-499-1000. That's our first bid for you. If you want to talk with us about anything, really, you know, there's no, you know, politics or anything like that tonight. We're just going to take it as it rolls, really. Let's get to Pete. Pete is on now.
Hello,
Pete.
Hello. Hi, Howard.
What can I do for you?
I think this is our apprentice correspondent, isn't it?
I am the reluctant apprentice correspondent.
Get in.
Yeah.
That was quick.
Yeah.
So, Pete, what is the... Because I have to say I stopped watching it only because I thought some of the people were so bigging themselves up, you know, beyond a reasonable amount. So I stopped watching a couple of years ago, and I did find it entertaining. Why should I turn it on again?
I mean... If you've seen the first 10 years of it, you probably don't need to watch any more of it.
What was the task tonight? What did they have to do?
So the task tonight was designing bicycles. So I think there were bicycles and some electronic bicycles. It's the 15th series, so this is why I've been made the correspondent, because I think it's all the same now, and you know, I feel like I've seen it all. But yeah, it went better than expected. One of the teams did make over £1 million in sales, which is probably a record. I mean, I've not looked it up.
Well, no, that's a result, isn't it? If you compare, I mean, I'm comparing this with years ago. That's a major league result.
Yeah, no, they were the winners. The losing team got 400,000 and something in sales, so they lost. And as is common at this stage, they ended up getting rid of the person who hasn't really been doing anything. So they're keeping all the characters in because it's good telly.
It's all about strategy, though, isn't it? It's all about a game plan.
To be honest, it's all about editing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's only an hour, isn't it, out of what a whole week they normally spend on the task.
I think Hayley should be on this. Hayley would be perfect.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Why don't you apply?
I'd win the thing. I don't know, because I don't have a business idea. I think if it was just about you being yourself and telling people what to do, I think I could smash it. But I think I don't have a business idea.
You could do worse than some of them.
Don't you? Like, I don't have a business idea. Like, I don't have a... I need an idea. Well, that's what I need.
I think, personally, we need to come up with one tonight. Then.
Okay.
Come on now. You know, you're a radio producer. You do all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, but that's not really
creativity.
Like...
Coming up with an idea is creativity.
Yeah,
you've got to fill
empire.
A gap in the market.
Yeah, but
you can just go in and say, I want to do a radio production academy or something, and they'll go, oh, that sounds very good, yeah.
That's been done before.
I don't know.
Yeah,
well, to be fair, the previous winners have been florists and cake makers, and they've all been done before.
That's the thing, it's something you can sell. I don't have anything I can sell. Like, do you know what I mean? You need something where you can make a huge margin on it, because he loves a huge margin.
I mean, if you got any old DVDs, you could sell those.
No, I've sold all mine. I moved on from that quite a time ago. I'm a bit OCD like that, so I like getting rid of old stuff. I think Howard could do that.
Oh, well, it's a possibility. I've still got about 200 CDs knocking around my flat.
How did I guess that?
Well, that's all right.
Someone must be psychic.
Excuse me, is this have a go? If you find our listener, we'll very much chime with this. I bet our listener's got loads of CDs and DVDs as well, even though they take up mountains
Maybe
of space.
Cassettes.
Well, I've got some
of
them.
Oh, so the CDs aren't of you, then?
No.
I thought for a second you were admitting to a music career that means you've still got boxes of... unsold CDs in the attic.
No, I'm on one or two demos for things, but we don't want to hear about that because I'm not going to tell you who I worked with ever again or who I've met because it's boring and I take that point now, which Hayley so deftly made this morning and this evening.
Everything in moderation.
All things in one. Don't worry, I'm not taking offence. So Pete, is there somebody who's a clear favourite then this year?
Not at the moment. I mean, this is the point where you really only remember the names of the two or three people who are shouting the loudest.
Mm. That's why I start watching. Because there are people, I don't know, maybe this comes with age, right? But I tend to find that some of the gobbiest people, and that's a Liverpool word that I think, you know, people down south will probably understand as well, some of the gobbiest people who dominate space and time, and I'm not just talking about the major, as some of the gobbiest people actually are some of the least able, and sometimes the ones who are quietest and are like slow burners in the corner are the ones who get there, the ones who win. That's one of the reasons
that's
I don't
pretty
watch
much
that.
Always the way, yeah. I mean, they usually keep in one or two of the gobby ones sort of till near the end, but they're never the winner.
I love the scene, though, where they're getting... Do they still do this? Where they're getting into the cab, and they're reflecting on how it all went pear-shaped for them.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That's what I like.
And they all say, oh, he's going to regret his words in 5 years' time, I'll be the... And you never hear from him again.
Because the words that we all wait for are, you're fired.
Yeah. You know,
those are the words that's the phrase that pays. So Pete, how far into the series are we? And what, you know, I'll pick it up. I promise I'll pick it up and watch it on the catch up. But, how far into the series?
This was episode 4, so we're not too far in.
Okay. Well, Pete, thank you very much for the update of...
You're very welcome.
For filling me in from the beginning. Pete, our correspondent there on The Apprentice. Do they still do it in America, Hayley?
I don't know. It's not called The Apprentice in America, is it? It's called something else.
Probably people expecting Donald Trump to be on it. I thought.
Well, he was originally, wasn't he?
Well, he was back in the day.
Back in the day, when he wasn't doing so much more important things.
Now, I have to say, you know, that often in the day I have vast swathes of time when I'm not sort of sleeping or doing anything meaningful or recording podcasts. And one of the things we'll try and dig out for you today, I was looking at some videos, kind of self-help type thing. If you want anything that you want to do. And today, for reasons that I will explain, I was looking for a way to flush my toilet without using my cistern because I'm on a waiting list for my great plumber, Ron, to come round and do it. He's been on holiday, so for the last 2 weeks I've had a problem with my cistern. It's been dripping. And I've had to learn all about it. So today I thought, I'm sure you can probably find, I know you're going to sound, this makes me sound ridiculous, but you can flush a cistern with a bucket. But I thought, I better check that out. So I went on YouTube looking for self-help videos, and we found a great American one where the guy is terribly serious about the whole process of flushing. You may have always wondered how you flush your toilet with a bucket of water. I'll show you how. And indeed he does. So, you know, if you're patient, we'll get round to playing a bit of that out in a short while here. 0344-499-1000 is our number here at Talk Radio.
Darkness falls across the land. It's 10 o'clock, says the little hand. The ordinary folk will turn out the light, happy to go gently into that good night. Not so the night people, funky but neat. For them the hour is deliciously sweet. Kick off your slippers, don't go to bed. The party is just starting. You can sleep when you're dead. Set free your mind, let your fancy take flight. Conversation gets curiouser by the glow of moonlight. It's electric, it's eclectic, it's always rule-free. It's the late night alternative with that man, Ian Lee.
Get all thriller, no filler night dog. That's like nothing else on the radio. The late night alternative with Ian Lee. Weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
The only show that explains to you.
Yes, you.
Why a dab of Vaseline is a good thing. The reason for that, thank you, anonymous texter, for that. If you cut yourself shaving, you know, whichever part of your anatomy, maybe your face, maybe your head, like Tony, driving the van, little dab of Vaseline is the way to stem the flow.
Wow.
Didn't know that.
Why has no one ever told me that before?
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good life hack. Thank you. Who was that?
Oh, what? Where?
Who was that?
That was an anonymous texter.
Oh, anonymous. Thank you.
It could be anybody.
It could be anyone.
It could be, who knows, royalty.
Megan might be listening.
Could be the Duke of, could be Megan. Could be the Duke of Edinburgh.
Gosh.
In a spare moment, down the palace. Who knows, Hayley? Our number here, 0344.
Why not?
499. 1,000. I'd love to hear from you because, you know, that's what we're here to do. I don't want to hear me rabbiting on about nothing. Or maybe you do. We can talk more about corned beef. Who knows? But we can talk. Jane, thank you. Pickled walnuts are many on the... Okay. Pickled walnuts are many on the late night alternative. I think that's a reference to us.
Oh, okay.
Jane, we can take it.
Well, I was an idiot before, about an hour ago. So
I know we've been called idiots tonight.
Walnuts, we're fine.
I don't think it's most unfair. Well, I think we've started a debate about these things that is probably ongoing.
That's fine, whatever.
But you have to remember that, you know, I am merely here for what we used to say in Liverpool, for a dog watch. Now, you don't know what a dog watch is, do you?
Explain, what does that mean?
Well, I think they still use the term. A dog watch means not very long.
Right.
So we are but here and we pass. I'm not talking life.
That's life in general, isn't it?
No, I'm not talking life here. No, not at all. One of the things we never got round to talking about last night, I'm sorry for this, we were sort of preempted by that B word and talking about politics last night. We were going to talk, and it was Hayley's idea, and I think it's brilliant.
Oh.
Brilliant.
As always.
Absolutely.
I forgot what it was now. God, I'm scared.
Damn. No, we're going to talk about the biggest waste of time that you've ever had in your life.
Oh, yes.
You know, there are things that we do, and we don't realize at the time it's just a waste of time. You shouldn't have bothered doing it. I've had a couple of jobs like that. You don't need to go there.
When you get paid, I suppose it's not a complete waste of time.
It was not entirely a complete waste of time, but you could have been doing things that are fulfilling.
Yeah.
And maybe page, I don't know, whatever. But leaving the jobs aside, maybe. I mean, you tell me what you think about this. But, you know, waste of time. Here's one of mine. I was a VW Beetle fanatic. So I passed my driving test in a 1972 VW Beetle, Marathon Edition, that my sister had had before me. And my dad and I had decided to paint, but we couldn't really afford to have it done properly, sprayed. So we sanded it down on the driveway, and we did it with paint, with a brush and paint.
Just normal paint.
And for the first year or so, it looked fantastic. People said, what a great Beetle that's got. I always loved the Beetle. So it was a 1300cc Beetle, ran on what they used to call four-star petrol, and then you could run it on leaded later by some kind of conversion that I never really understood. Great car. Loved the car. Called it Taffy. Do you call your car by a name, by the way? Do you, Hayley?
Yeah, Polly, I think.
Polly?
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no, that's a sat-nav. I call my sat-nav Polly.
I had a car I called Razza once, because the last letters were RZH.
That's very cool. That's like a boy racer.
But Taffy was my favourite car, and I passed my driving test in Taffy, and I knew everything about her, and she got me out of so many scrapes that I'd be in if it was on the motorway, caught in the spray and the rain in between... a couple of coaches, then Taffy would get me out of the trouble. And when I was very young and not a very good driver, Taffy would get me out of all sorts of scrapes, because I was a very silly boy when I was first driving. I didn't really
Everyone
get
is.
It.
Boys are, aren't they?
Terrifying on the road I was. Back then.
Of course, now I'm Mellon. Sure you're
These days,
perfect
I'm an exemplar.
You're
I am.
Angel.
But I always promised myself that rather than having a Beetle that, fundamentally there's a lot of rust in it. So every time you take it for an MOT, they say, sorry, Howard, it's going to need £400 worth of welding this time, for the floor pan. Otherwise, unless you want to be like the Flintstones, running along with a car, you're going to have the floor pan done. So £400 worth of welding. So in the end, I decided to get a new one. And until 2004, I think, or so, they were making brand new Beetles in the old style in Mexico, in a place called, Puebla. Puebla in Mexico, which is still the base of Volkswagen in Mexico. Last place in the world to make them. They made them in Africa, and they made them in Germany originally. And where else did they? I think they made them in South America as well. And they made them in Puebla in Mexico. And most of the Beetles that you see on American movies are ones that originated in Mexico these days. And in Mexico, they still use them as taxis and police cars and all kinds of stuff. You still see them around now. Because they last forever.
So a good runner then.
So I think to myself, I'm going to get, and we're talking about wasting time here, and this is a waste of time story, sadly. And I thought, okay, I'm going to sadly kiss goodbye to Taffy, the old German Beetle, and get a Mexican, brand new, because I want to know what it's like to own a brand new Beetle. Well, so I bought one of these from an importer here. 1600cc engine, not hit and, Taffy used to have hit and miss brakes. They were disc brakes and not drum brakes. I think that's the way around. And literally, if you hit the brake pedal, you would probably shoot to the left or the right. You would never stop in a straight line. Right? You could adjust them all you wanted. You could adjust them from now till Christmas, but they would still shoot you off left or right or somewhere they shouldn't be shooting you off. So this new Beetle from Mexico had, a VW Golf braking system. Brand new, fantastic, stopped dead, put your head through the windscreen, straight line, perfect. Big 1600cc engine, all air cool, just like the original Beatles. I thought, fan dabby dozy. And how much is that? I think it cost me about $8,000, maybe 10 or so, back then. So I'm thinking, I'm going to have this car for the rest of my born years. It turned out to be a complete duffer.
No.
It drove like a tractor. It did. It just didn't steer
it's quite
right.
It's a small car, though.
Yeah, I know. But it didn't steer right. It felt like you were driving something big and mechanical. It just wasn't nice. And it had all kinds of problems, in particular the alarm system. Now, because car theft, like it is here, is a problem in Mexico, a big one, all Beetles are fitted with two things that you don't see that often in cars here. One is an alarm system that links to the horn. Can you imagine that? Not a thing that goes, but one that goes beep, 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 until you somehow stop it.
3 o'clock in the morning, exactly, and annoy all your neighbours.
Well, because they put some computer technology in the modern version of the Beetle, the battery would drain regularly. And one of the first signs of the battery draining would be the noise from the garage at 3 o'clock in the morning of beep, beep, and my neighbours saying, what the... is that, what the flip is that, they would be saying in their way. So Be like that. So, yeah.
Did
so that was one
to
of the problems.
Did you get any money for it when you sold it?
I did a terrible thing. Because it was so much of a problem and I had so many issues with it, I let it go. I let it go for scrappage.
No.
I put it in for two grand scrappage.
No.
And I bought a Toyota with it.
Somebody would have given you more for that.
And that was, how many years of my life did I have that? I had that about 6 years or so. And it just was disappointing.
Yeah, but somebody probably got a bargain for 2 grand for a 6-year-old.
Well, that was put in for scrappage. That's another thing. Do you know, if you're hearing this now, maybe you do know how the motor trade works. Do you know what they did with the scrappage cars? Do they all... The guy at the garage told me that they even if it's fairly new, which this one was, that they do scrap them.
No,
they put them through the scrapper.
Don't they?
Do they?
Yeah. Definitely.
So somebody's got that car.
Yeah.
And maybe they've learned a way to make it less of a problem.
Because that's where if you buy a second-hand car, all my cars have been second-hand. I've never had a new car.
Always from auction?
Always from auctions. That's where you get them from.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that was my waste of time. I've known one or two people through my life have been a waste of time as well. But let's not go there because it's too depressing. We don't want to keep the mood high tonight. No. I'm sorry. We're not going to turn the lights down.
I love it when you open up. I see it. Fascinated.
No, we've all, haven't we? Come on, my listener, you know this. We've all wasted our time on people. Sometimes in relationships and sometimes professionally.
But don't they say people come into your life for a reason or a season?
Well, they say that they do say that
so
people...
it's never a complete waste of time.
Well, no, they say that everything is for learning. Yes. Even this, what we're doing here tonight,
apparently,
is for a learning purpose, apparently.
I've learned about corned beef tonight.
Hedy, who is one of my regulars on Sunday and also a regular talk radio listener now, I think I can honestly say that I was the person who persuaded Hedy to come round to our way of thinking, says, Howden Haley, we are not idiots. We're idearots.
Oh.
People of ideas.
And we
keep being brilliant.
So is that what George meant to say? Or we just heard him incorrectly? That's what he meant to say, wasn't it?
No, I think he meant that he felt we were idiots.
I was just trying to make myself feel better.
No.
That's okay.
No, George may think differently of that, though, by the next time we think of him. I've never heard him speak like that. I've known George for years, since he, since I came to London.
Since he was a young lad.
Since I was a mere child. Craig, in Bangor County Down, says, I'm a cutthroat razor user. God, rather you than me, Craig. There is no substitute for an alum block. That's the block of stuff that makes the styptic pencil to stop bleeding from shaving cuts. It beats Vaseline every time.
Okay.
It's a crystal block, dirt cheap online. Alum block. Okay.
We need to look that up.
I do. Mm. But we still haven't answered the question, though. Why you get older? When you get older. Not why you get older. We know that.
Yeah.
It's just part of life's rich and varied tapestry, I think you'll find. But we haven't answered the question as to why shaving becomes more difficult. And we're not talking about shaking hands here or the inability to grip stuff, but why it becomes more difficult and less accurate.
Is it eyesight? Because you can't see as well?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it's just a question of going.
Yeah, but you need to see where you're going.
Up your jawline, isn't it? That's all there is to it. I don't know. But I think it does.
Mystery.
If you concur, then 03444991000. Or I want to hear from you. Any story that you might have about anything. Waste of time, I think, is great. You must have wasted your time at something. If we want to throw out ideas here, which we might.
Why not?
Okay, you're being very quiet here, Hayley. In the current one today, in the Sun, a footwear company is looking for an official tester for their autumn and winter range. They're going to pay you to test their footwear, £333.33 a month for 12 hours of work, according to the paper.
That's
the tester will need to wear the slippers for 12 hours in a 24-hour period every month. The chosen candidate will get 12 free pairs of slippers during the 12-month contract and will end up earning $4,000 a year. Nice work if you can get it. This is a company, apparently, the paper names it as Bedroom Athletics. It says, do you love a new pair of fluffy slippers? Do you spend a lot of time at home? And that's part of the pitch for this thing. But you can get paid, according to this, for wearing slippers. So the question that flows as naturally as old Father Thames, or the Clyde, or any river you want to mention, or the Bristol Channel, it flows from what I've just said, is what's the easiest gig you've ever had? Now, there's a question. Ailey, what's the easiest? I can tell
oh,
you mine.
Oh, I'll tell you mine. I cheated a bit. It was only easy because I completely cheated. I was about 16, I think, and it was one of these jobs where you have to put leaflets through people's doors. I mean, honestly, it's the easiest job in the world. But I was with this guy, so it was my first day, and this guy had been doing it quite a long time. He was like, oh, we'll pair up. I'll show you the ropes. I shouldn't say this, but we dumped all the leaflets. We didn't put them through anyone's letterbox. But it was the easiest job in the world. You shouldn't have asked.
I once had to introduce Matthew Kelly. Name dropping.
I haven't got any name drops. I
once had to introduce somebody. Let's leave the names out of it then. And I had to record the words, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome well-known celebrity. To start some TV show, I think it was the National TV Awards or Soap Awards or something.
As you do.
About a decade ago, of course. And it took about 30 seconds to record. And for some reason, even though it was on ITV, they were recording it at the BBC. And I went into this room with a guy who had all sorts of widgets and gear around him, you know, old-fashioned reel-to-reel tape recorders. And this guy had a beard, and he looked like he hadn't been home in 30 years. It looked like he was like Doctor Who in the TARDIS. It was amazing. And in the middle of all of this equipment was a microphone on a stand. He said, that's where you need to do what you're doing, sir. So, okay, fine. He said, here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. So I just did it once so he could test it. And then said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Matthew Kelly. And I said, are we going to do that again? He said, no, that's it. Thank you very much. That's fine. That was approximately 15 seconds of trying it and testing it. And I got paid a couple hundred quid for that back then.
Wow.
Need more work like that, my God.
We don't all have a voice like you, though. Very few gigs.
Well, no, I don't know. People don't want voices like this anymore. They want people who sound like anybody in the bus queue. If people still queue for buses, I think. I don't know.
Not in London. You just get on.
Do you? All right. You just barge your way through to the front.
True. Amy's laughing. It's true. When have you ever queued for a bus in London, Amy? Or do you just get on? You use your elbows and you just get on.
Well, there's a crowd.
Yeah, exactly. There's a crowd.
But you still sort of queue as you follow along to the bus.
I'm actually coming here tonight. I came, obviously, there's one, for me, I have to go one stop on the underground. And I get to the station just outside here. And I'm coming to a stop, and I'm the first person by the door. But a woman next to me, and she's substantially back from me, just walks straight past me and comes out first. And I just thought, well, that's okay. You can do that if you want to. Well, I just thought it was such bad manners.
It's a bit rude.
Oh, no. Well, it is a bit. What was I say? Oh, waste of time. We've got time to do this. Yes, we have. Kyle, nice to hear that you're there, Kyle. Give us a call. They say on all the best radio stations. A lot of my girlfriends said that I was an educational experience. As they left, they said, well, that's taught me a lesson.
Served a purpose.
That is true. But look, we're looking for stories of things that have really wasted your time. And please don't say the hours between 10 and 1 this week, because, you know, it's not big and it's not clever. So, our number here, 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. You can text us, text Talk. And then a space and your message to 87222. And your text will cost you 25 pence in your standard network rate. Or you can tweet us on the Twitter at Talk Radio.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
When you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way.
We are Talk Radio. We're kicking them where it hurts every night, right between the ears.
Right between the ears. All right, Wolfman Jack here. All right.
Sorry. Just getting into this movie mode here. Pete, thank you very much. We were talking about corned beef cans, and whether you can open them, or like me, whether you just haven't got the art of it yet, and why they still make them like this after 50-odd years or whatever. And we're talking about the sandwiches that you can make from them, that I make with a bit corned beef, Branston. Pete says, the hell with Branston, he says. Tomato ketchup, every time.
Oh, the corned beef.
I'm not sure
about that.
Unless it's like... if it's tomato pickle, it may be. And CJ adds to the debate, very usefully, I think, by saying, I've emailed you a picture of some tinned meat. No need to open it, though. It's spam. Thank you for that, CJ. And that's the kind of level we want to hit tonight. The very top. The cream of the crop. And Marcus in Liverpool. Sorry to catch you waiting about that. You say, what's the name of the building in Bold Street? It's on the corner of Concert Street, and you'll see it there, because it's been a club in the past. It was also Waterstones Bookstore, and that was the former music hall that is haunted, and everybody who goes there reports that something's going on. I don't know what, but there you are. Rainbow George in London. George, we have but a brief time. How are you?
Why do we have but a brief time?
Well, sadly, two reasons. Time's winged chariot, and the boss, and my producer, Haley, who glares at me regularly if I talk too much.
If you talk to me.
Well, no, that's not
necessary. I owe you both an apology. I called you both idiots when I was speaking to Ian Lee the
other.
Did you? Oh, did you?
Okay.
Aw, that's not very nice, is it?
Well, it's the way you've treated me, and you can't seem to hold a conversation with me, Howard,
okay.
What is your problem with me?
No, I don't have a problem with you,
yes,
George.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
You just started a conversation by telling me we've only got a short time.
Well, no, listen, I am a paid factotum here. I am Haley's the organ grinder, and I'm the monkey, and I have to do what I'm told. And everything has a time slot. That's not a personal thing, though, George.
Haven't said that to anyone else.
Excuse me. You're probably listening to other radio stations. I say that to so many people.
And actually, I did say it to him during the break. I'll be perfectly honest
with
you, George.
It's all her fault.
I'll be honest. Just as we went to the news, he said, we've got six people waiting. And I said, all right, then, well, let's crack on then.
Mm.
So I told him to crack on. And now I didn't know who was up first. So I didn't know, because I can't see the screen from here. So I can't see who's lined up. I just know we've got six people waiting.
All right then.
All I'm saying is that it was my fault. I'll take it. It's all good.
And how long does Ian Lee have you on for then?
Oh, he has me on. He's very negative towards me as well.
Right.
I've recently been associating myself to a biblical prophecy that speaks of a time when a character called the Spirit of Truth will come.
And do you believe that character is Ian Lee? Is that what we're getting to?
No, I believe that character is me.
Oh, God.
And it guides you into all truth and show you things to come. And I say I do apologize to you both for calling you idiots, because I'm aware that you're not responsible for your actions.
We know not what we do.
No, we're all being remotely controlled to think whatever we think, and therefore to act in whichever way we act. We are not responsible for our actions, and the Bible is telling us
Okay, so you're basically saying that we're both idiots and it's not our fault.
I'll take it.
Yes.
I'm not sure whether I feel any better now that you told me that.
I'll take it. Apology accepted, George.
Thank you.
George, listen, all right, let me hand this back to you then, just as we part company to talk again, which we will. If you're a prophet, then you can prophesy. What are you going to prophesy? Give me one thing that's going to happen fairly soon.
Fairly soon, we're going to Brexit.
Yes.
And the United Kingdom will fall apart.
Okay, I think that's enough. Rainbow George, thank you for that. Hang on. 11:07 p.m. and Ian's going to be back next week, so I'm not going to know how this pans out. It's October the 23rd today. 11:07 p.m. We're going to Brexit and UK will fall apart, says Rainbow George, who's a prophet. And who called us both idiots? But am I the kind of man who would hold that against him?
If that's the worst anyone ever calls me, I think I'm doing well in life. I'm good with that.
It's okay. I bet he doesn't get such an easy ride from Ian Lee, though. You know, I'm just Mr. Placid. That's me. Chris, how are you, Chris?
I'm fine, thanks.
Nice to hear your voice, Chris. What's going on?
I just want to make a comment about your Sunday night show.
Okay.
A good one.
Oh, thank God. You're not going to call me an idiot again, are you? I can take two in one night.
I think you remind me of another presenter.
Do you? Oh, really?
From years ago.
Oh, dear. Somebody good.
Who did a similar show to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
was he enormously talented?
He went looking for spirits.
Did he?
Yeah.
I've known a few people on the radio do that quite regularly.
It was a ghost hunter.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and yeah, and on a Sunday, and he had the same slot as you on a Sunday night.
Did he?
And at midnight.
You sure that wasn't me? Fun? You sure that wasn't me?
No.
I'm sorry, I'm joshing.
Unless he was on Radio Lancashire.
Oh, no, no, you wouldn't want that. I wouldn't wish that on the worst enemy, Chris. Come on now. So look, what prompted your call tonight, Chris? We need to know.
Well, every time I hear your advert for your show.
Oh, yes.
And it says, you got the space people saying, we come in peace.
Mm-hmm.
I always get the feeling that someone's going to be added onto that, like, we come in peace, shoot to kill.
Ah, like Star Trekking. I think, listen, yeah. We need a bit of uplift here. And if it's all right with my producer, Haley, who has to be obeyed at all times. Amy, can we find a record called The Firm is the band, and the year was about 1988. It's called Star Trekking. We need to hear this.
Oh, yes.
Klingons on the starboard bow.
No, no. Oh, we've already had Alan on, but Alan does a really good rendition of this. it's actually probably better than the original, but we'll not.
I love the Uhura with a spinning head in the video. Have you seen the video?
I have seen the video.
The video is hysterical. Chris? Have you seen the video for that?
A long time ago.
It's hysterical. And the Captain Kirk. Now he looks an idiot in the video, and he's got a cap, and that spins round as well. And it just, you know, we come in peace. He says, we come in peace, shoot to kill. But we'll hear it.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. And yeah, I never thought that, you know, until now, until he raised it.
Because every time I hear that, we come in peace,
mm-hmm.
that always goes through my mind. Shoot to kill.
Can I tell you something, honestly?
Sure. Can I enjoy your program on a Sunday night.
Well, thank you, Chris. And can I tell you something for a little bit of truth here? That's exactly what I think when I've heard it. I mean, that particular trailer for Cho has been running for quite a long time, and every time I hear We Come in Peace, I always think of The Firm and Shoot to Kill. Chris, thank you for your call. Have a good night.
You're welcome.
Take care. And thank you for listening to The Sunday Show, because I need as much support as I can possibly get, as you may have noticed. Let's get to... Who are we going to get to now? Tony, in Mobile, Alabama. How are you, Tony?
Yeah, not bad, man.
On a mobile.
Bad,
oh,
absolutely.
I'm, no, I'm brilliant, all right. I'm at the pivotal point in the week now. You know, this is the hump day, isn't it?
I've done, isn't it?
This is my third. Well, it is. It's probably downhill from the beginning. this is my third Ian Lee, and I've got a couple more to go. So I'm at that kind of tipping point here.
Well, I'm loving the shows, mate, this week. Absolutely. Because I drive down to Uxbridge every night and back again from Leeds.
God,
and, your show's getting me through the nightmare, and it really is. Same as Ian Lee, I've told him before, it gets me through the night. It's absolutely fantastic. But what I'm really liking are these weird and wonderful stories that people are phoning up with.
Mm. Have you got one?
Well, it's not stories, it's more of a thought. One of them is Sky Trumpets. What's all that about?
Sky Trumpets?
Yeah, it's this noise emanating from the sky, and there's no scientific reason for it coming. Just Google Sky Trumpets and see what comes up.
I'm going to write that down for Sundays. But I know there are places where they hear a mysterious low-pitched hum and nobody can explain it.
Yes, it's called Sky Trumpets. And the second one, now this will really bake your noodle. Now this is, right, now when I'm driving, I think of all sorts of weird and wonderful things. Now then, when we die, and we go to the bright light, who's to say that bright light isn't the end of the birth canal, and that new baby, it's crying because it's remembering the life it's left behind, yeah, and then as we get older, we forget that life.
I like it.
See, now, the more I think about it, the more I think, yeah, that's quite feasible.
Well, it's a possibility, but then all things are.
It is, isn't it? You know what I mean?
But, you know, it's a funny, you're just indicating and illustrating something here that is absolutely true. When you're driving through the night, those long hours, you know, obviously you're concentrating on what you're doing, but your mind can reach all kinds of... I used to drive up and down to Liverpool and back all the time, because sometimes I'd do a bit of radio there, and sometimes mm-hmm. I'd go and see my mum and dad in Liverpool. And you just have a chance to work out everything, don't you? You have really... I find you have profound thoughts when you're on the road.
You do. You've got every answer for every question in the world, haven't you, coming up through your brain?
But I'm trying to think of the route from Leeds to Uxbridge. Is that partly M1 and then you come off...
Well, your sat nav will probably come up with about 30 different ways, but I come straight down the M1. Is it M40, M25, something like that? Or I come down the M40, M42, M25.
Oh, I know. You've got a bit of a dog leg there. I know exactly what you mean.
Or I can go down the A1, but that takes about an extra half an hour.
Right. And how often do you do that?
I do it every night. Monday night through to Saturday morning.
Okay. Are you delivering?
Yeah. I work for a furniture company, and I deliver all the sofas and what have you for this area. So I drop it all off down here for these guys, and then they go and deliver it through the day. And then I go back, go home, go to bed, get back to work, the van's loaded for me, then I set off again.
Well, I think that's... I mean, look, when you do that, you're your own boss, aren't you, though? You've got no one telling you what to do, as long as you do it on time, on budget.
Absolutely. It's brilliant. Also, styptic pencils, yes, you can still get them. And the reason why I know, mate, because I use it myself. You can also get it in a block. It's called alum. A-L-U-M.
And so what is it? Is it a kind of... Right. All my life, my dad had one. Is it a soap?
No, it's not. So basically, if you can imagine biting into a lemon and sucking your mouth in, going, oh, that's basically what it does to your pores of your skin.
Mm-hmm. I'm crying it now.
Yeah. So you can get them. It's called a styptic pencil or an alum block, A-L-U-M. Mm. And when you use it, you run it under the cold tap. Don't run it under the hot tap because it'll wear it out too quick. I've had an alum block there for the last 5 or 6 years, and it's still going strong. And then you dry it off with a bit of tissue paper and just let it air dry what's left on it.
I find as I'm getting older, probably for the last 10 years or so, that I'm cutting myself. I mean, maybe it's because my hands are shaking so much. Who knows? And that I cut myself more, even though I've got quite. Do you think I've got quite smooth skin?
Yeah,
I think I have.
Well,
that's looking
good
for a man of my age.
Yes. You
know, it's not as nice as yours, but
I don't have to shave. Remember. So.
And of course, I blame the quality of modern razors. Yes. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's something to do with me.
Well, no, because I refuse to pay them extortionate prices for them plastic razors. I've spent, I think, you can get 5 or 6 of them blades. Yeah, okay, they've got 5 blades in each one for, like, what, 20 quid?
Mm-hmm.
You get 5 or 6. I've spent 20 quid and I've got enough razor blades there to last me till my dying days.
Yeah.
And every now and again, I'll just go and put a new one in.
I get my lazy shavers from the pound shop. I don't need to spend a lot on shavers. You chuck them away.
And do you cut yourself, Hayley, when you shave?
Actually, the fresh ones, yeah, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Because they're so sharp?
They're so sharp, you do get... If you use a new shaver on your legs, you do find yourself getting... You're bleeding by the end of your bath.
But you see, you're not like a guy, are you? You don't have to do that every day.
No,
you?
That's true. And it's only when they're freshly new out the packet.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I do buy them from the pound shop, so maybe I need to spend a little bit more money and then
well,
I maybe wouldn't
nothing
have that
wrong
problem.
With the pound shop. I went through the summer wearing sunglasses from the pound shop.
You get what you pay for.
Okay. My granddad, not that we're telling stories for my family again, but my granddad had an old Gillette razor, and it went through the family, and maybe somewhere, maybe Beryl, my sister, still got this thing, because it was like an heirloom, and it was in a blue case. It was in like a posh, the kind of thing you'd find an expensive pen in. Mm-hmm. And this thing was silver, and you put in it packs of pure razor. Have you seen pure razor blades, old-fashioned double-sided razor blades? They would cut your head off.
They're the type I use, yeah.
And you have to be so careful with those, though. I used I watched my granddad foaming himself up to do that. And I think, how do you do that without cutting your throat?
They're called safety razors. Now, there's nothing safe about them, is there? When you look at
ironic.
It out the packet.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a shave in a barber's?
I shave my head as well, you see. So they do shave the back of my neck when if I do go in there. So yes and no.
Right. How often do you have to shave your head?
I do it about every 2 or 3 days.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You're still going for the Grant Mitchell look?
I'm as bald as a badger's backside anyway, but...
But, you know, you get a bit of stubble there, don't you, going on?
Yeah, I do, yeah. But I shave it every 2 or 3 days. It's dead simple in the shower. Just rub it over with a damp cloth, that's it, it's clean. It's great. None of this walking to the shower with 2 bottles, no, none of that. None of that.
Well, I've still got a little bit of hair going on.
You've got a lot of hair, for
what it's worth. But shaving. Now, when you get shaved by a barber, I've only ever had that done once in my life, Tony, and it was in Italy. And it was something that I had to do, okay? I was required to do this thing. So I go into the barber shop in a place called Lucca, in Italy. And it's quite an old-fashioned town there. And I'm thinking, genuine Italian barber, what could possibly go wrong? This man has been barbering people all of his life.
So Sweeney Todd.
So, well, exactly. I was thinking, the Sweeney Todd, the demon barber. So I sit down in the chair there. And this chair's clearly been well-worn by many famous backsides over the years. He's done a load of shaving in front of this old mirror. And, you know, the mirror has got that sort of, what do they call it, patina about it that shows that the mirror has been there. It's not quite true. It's been there for years. So there I am sitting there. Thinking, well, this is all right. People do this every day. It's absolutely fine. And I'm saying, can I have shave, please? And I'm going like that, you know, saying, you're the shave. And always, the CT. I don't know. You know, sit there. So, okay, fine. I'm sitting there. So he gets a big tub of... am I all right to tell this story?
Yes,
am I going to be shutting my face? No, okay.
No,
I just need to check.
Why do you check all this
stuff? One needs to. he gets a big bowl full of foam.
Right.
And this is not the stuff in a can that I use, or maybe, Tony, you use too. This is proper old-fashioned foam, and he's foaming the stuff, and he's going like, and I'm thinking, Jesus, this is going to be good, isn't it? And he's getting the hot towels ready. And this is not a posh place. Okay, this is just a place where ordinary people go if they happen to be passing through Lucca. So I'm thinking, this is all going to be fine. And I'm standing by there to have this man do this, and he's got this, an old-fashioned leather. I don't know if you've seen a barber with one of those cutthroat razors go up and down
and
the leather.
Which and the strop. That's and the strop.
The strop, yeah. Exactly. Up and down the strop, like that. And I'm thinking, geez, this man is a man who knows his stuff here. I'm going to get one hell of a shave here. So he goes with the foam, like that. And then he comes to the mirror and stands in front of the mirror himself and goes... And in about four strokes, shaves himself. And I'm thinking, this man is mad. What am I going to do? Now, it's a matter of honor. Do I walk out of the shop? Because I'm starting to tremble slightly then. Because I'm thinking, if this man slips with that thing that looks absolutely bloody lethal, then I'm going to have, you know, I mean, you've got a few arteries and things up there in the neck that are fairly important for blood supply. And, you know, could mean your ultimate demise should there be one false move. So I'm thinking he's coming to me next. I hope to God you're going to wash that blade. So he washes the blade and he's got an old-fashioned, what do they call those gas heaters on the wall with water, Ascot style, with steaming water out of it, like that. And he does that with a blade and he goes up and down with the strop. And the next thing he just pushes the guy's got a hand like a ham hock. This is a true story. Got a hand like a ham hock. He pushes my head back and I go, like that. As if I'm about to have some kind of surgical procedure. And he goes, and the next thing I know, I end up with a small cut, admittedly, and a face like a baby's bum.
Wow.
That's my shaving story. And I live to tell the tale, but I have to tell you that the reason I got a cut is because my head was shaking so much. I was terrified. I just thought, you know, there are reasons to die in the service of your profession, and this is not one of them.
It's a story, though, right?
Well,
just
story.
Before I go.
Oh, yes,
sorry. Before I go, you two guys remind me of me and my wife. I'm the one who wears the trousers. She's the one who walks the trousers up.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Well, as my father used to say, I'm anything for a quiet life, Tony. You know, you have to be, really. You know, you can either spend your life disagreeing, or you just say okay, and it's just easier to say okay.
As men, we know where.
As men through the generations have done, and increasingly so.
We know which side the bread's buttered on, don't we?
Well, we do, and I'm not saying she's a tyrant, but you know, that's just how things are. Tony, thank you for that. Take care and drive safely. Take care,
ladies, guys. Thank you.
Good night, Tony. Driving from Leeds to Uxbridge every night of the week and not shaving as he's doing it, though. That's not what we, you know... Not,
that
that's
would be
not,
a talent, to be fair.
And it would also be extremely wrong and illegal. But I once saw a woman on the M4 doing her makeup while she was driving.
Oh, I might have done that.
I just thought, oh, Hayley...
That happens more than you realise.
Well, that's just... I was disgusted. I really was.
Disgusted of wherever you
are. I was disgusted of, if I lived in Tunbridge Wells, I'd be
disgusted of Tunbridge Wells.
Sadly, I don't live there because I can't afford it. Talk radio here, 0344-499-1000. We want to get talking with you, so let's be having you.
No nonsense, no prisoners, no substitutes.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.